Lord's work.
Hello?
Hello.
Damn it.
Damn it, what?
I don't know. Okay, hello and welcome.
Wait, what was the damn it for?
I was in the middle of running my Skype test when you called.
You said I'm ready.
I know. I was. But then my microphone wasn't working, so I had to test it.
What the hell? Why would you say you're ready if you're not ready? When you say I'm ready, I assume your mic is working.
Well, I think you don't understand what ready means.
What does ready mean?
It means I'm almost ready.
No, it doesn't. Then you could say I'm almost ready.
But in internet speak.
Well, if your boss is calling you and you say I'm ready, like to receive a call, do you tell him no, I'm not ready?
Depends if my mic is working or not.
Well, what do you mean if your mic is working? You anticipate that ahead of time. That's part of the being prepared. Prepared to do the Lord's work.
That's why I dropped out of religion. That's why I've been unsuccessful in my career.
Yeah.
There you go. I've only been there for 20 something years.
Almost 25?
Let's see. 23.
I'm almost hitting 25, so that's why I figured.
Because we're parallel. I'm following you by a couple of years.
Yeah, you're copying me. So what's going on? What have you been up to?
Not a lot.
A pause. That doesn't
this
sound
and that.
Like
I'm
a
thinking.
Good
I'm trying
stuff.
To think of. Trying to think of stuff that's been going on. It was a weird week at work, which I can't talk about what's going on at work, but it's always fun when there's uncertainty at work. that leads to a very stress-free life.
Stressful life. Right? Not stress-free.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, anytime anything's going on at work, it like completely like throws off your reality.
Well, I hope it got better. Because uncertainty isn't good.
It's fine. Nothing's affected me yet.
Yeah.
But it's affected other areas, so you gotta wonder.
Yeah, you always gotta be prepared. That's all you can do, really.
And I am following you by 2 years, so.
Yeah, be prepared. That's all you can do.
Besides
so what else
that,
have you done? Did you do anything last week? Because you were saying you could only record for 2 hours or something. And you wanted to get up at 6:30 a.m. And I'm like, fuck that shit. You won't show up for a half hour and then it'll be an hour and a half.
And then you'll be pissed.
I know what your ready means. It means I'll be ready at 9 o'clock.
I was on time today.
No, you weren't.
And I was. There's a record of me saying I'm ready. On time.
It says 8:36. What are you talking about? It's 6 minutes late.
It doesn't say 8:36.
Yeah, it does.
I don't know how to go back to it.
I timestamp my messages, so I know if you're prompt or not. I record
that was
it.
Prompt. That was 9:31 my time. Perfect. Acceptable. Last weekend, it was my son's birthday. Party celebration. So we had a family get together that I had to attend.
That sounds like fun.
It was.
Did you bring Mr. Bubbles?
In my head.
In your head? That poor guy. Is he like living your life?
Mr. Bubbles or Alfie?
Alfie.
He's living my dream life.
Yeah. Do you have an imaginary character you talk to?
No, luckily, since I do it with my son, I can just talk to him
Ah.
to discuss things.
I was wondering if you take some imaginary
Do some role playing.
friend, yeah.
Or she's my aunt.
I supposedly had an imaginary friend when I was a kid.
Really?
His name
Do you
was
remember?
San yeah, his name was Sanchez.
Nice. What did you and Sanchez do together?
I don't remember, but my mom tells me we had a lot of adventures. Before my brother was born, I was playing with Sanchez.
Wow. So you was this when you were like real young, like 2 or 3, or?
Yeah.
I don't think I had any imaginary friends. I know I had some like stuffed animals I'd play with.
You wouldn't talk to them?
I'm sure I would. I think I had M Mr. Bear, I think was one of them. I had Mr.
I had a
Bear.
bear.
I'd like a big black bear.
I just had like a regular teddy bear, but I don't know what happened to him.
I know, I think I have mine somewhere, but I don't know where. I'd like to find it. Mr. Bear. But yeah, I don't think I had any imaginary friends. Not when I was that young.
You wouldn't remember. Ask your mom.
That's true, I would not remember.
Yeah, you're not gonna remember that shit. You can't even remember what happened yesterday. What are you trying to?
I remember what happened last weekend. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah. But you had to think about it for a while.
I had to think about it for a brief moment, a
Yeah,
second or two.
all that stress at work is getting to you.
It's affecting my synapses.
I used to try to have like a long-term plan, and it's turned into like a short-term plan. How can I survive another 6 months? Used to be like, I gotta find something for 3 more years.
That's stressful too, though. Either of those
Yeah.
situations to me.
It is what it is.
But how are you worrying about the next 6 months when you're there for
I'm not
that
worried
long?
about it. I mean,
Or sorry,
if
the
it,
3 years.
well, when you have to jump jobs, not every job needs software development for X amount of time.
Yeah.
Software development's pretty finite.
So you mean, oh, so you're trying to figure out
You
which
gotta work
project
from one
wanted to go on
project to
next?
another project, yeah.
Yeah. Or
And
what
if you
kind
can
of.
find that next project.
Will they assign you to a next project?
No. You pretty much are on your own.
Really?
Yeah. Your manager will help you somewhat, but not really, in my experience.
That's weird. We get assigned. I mean, we can let our manager know, like, if we're interested in moving to a different group or whatever, but.
Well, that's different when you're proactive. It's th then, hey, the work is running out. Try to find me something.
But I always just kind of, I think in all my moves, they just tell me, hey, we're gonna move you to this project. All right.
Can I take Mr. Bubbles?
I need to take my stuff. These rebels
Yeah.
must come with me. But I haven't moved. I've been on projects for long periods of time, so I moved around a lot.
So,
Which is fine by me.
yeah.
And then, yeah, so last weekend, yeah, we just had, it was just a, I mean, it was pretty casual family get together, but I like my family, so I always
Yeah.
enjoy being with them, so.
Well, that's good. Are you guys close? I mean, distance wise, I didn't mean like close.
Proximity. Yeah, my sisters are about a, well, my sisters are, I got two sisters, they're about 1 hour away, and then my brother's, he's farther away, he's like 5 hours away.
Yeah, and your family?
And then my mom is 6 months or about half the year in Illinois,
Six
about
months away?
Yeah, she's like 6 months away.
Wow.
It's a very remote island that you can
Oh,
only you have to canoe, you have to kayak to. So it takes a while. It takes a while. So I'll probably go see her next year. So I probably won't be able to podcast again for another year. Well, let's see, 6 months there, 6 months Baya for another year.
going on sabbatical? Can't you podcast from your mom's house? Does she have internet?
Well, I can, so okay, it'll take me 6 months to get there, then we can do a podcast.
When you get there.
Yeah, when I get there, and then I'll come back, and then I'll kayak back. So another six. Yeah, so we'll have two next year. That's pretty good. No, she's half the year here and half the year in Florida.
Oh,
Winters in Florida.
that's nice.
As old people in Illinois like to do.
So she has a good retirement then.
Yeah, I can't.
That's like a desirable retreat. I mean, to be able to do that.
Yeah, I can't look at that and not be envious, especially in the wintertime.
I want that. Barb would love that. Like we're in the summertime somewhere, and then we migrate to the warmer climate in the winter.
That's the dream.
Wow.
Yeah,
That's
so,
a
and it
good
works because
retirement. You
she's
should get
by.
pointers from her. Although the world has changed
Yeah, I don't think
from
I want to go to Florida though, because it's gonna be underwater by the time I retire. So I'm not gonna buy property yet.
Yeah, there are people that I don't ever see retiring. Like it's like they don't want to. And I'm like, man, your life at home must be
You also have nothing to
really
do
bad, yeah.
at home. Don't you have a room full of comics that you just want to sit down and read?
Just you want to just sit down and do stuff? I mean, there's so much to do. I just don't know how you could not do it.
I agree. Between, yeah, I could retire now and my days would be full.
Oh, I would make stuff like I would do stuff that I always wanted to do, you know, that just don't have time to do. I would write myself a list, and most of the stuff that I'd want to do, like I mean, I want to retire. I
Climb
want to
Mount Everest.
retire. I want to retire and be able to go on like at least two good trips a year, and they don't have to be like long trips, but like a good week trip here, a good, you know, fly here, spend a week, fly there, spend a week, and then the rest of the time I can preoccupy myself with other things. And if they go in the way in the future and like they do have things like MoviePass, then you just buy a MoviePass and go to the movies every freaking day. You see everything that's out, like Bob Breitel. He has a movie pass and it's already up to 128 movies.
Yeah, that's crazy. Or you could do the yeah, or the AMC has that one, right, where you do like three a week or something.
Yeah, movie pass is gonna go out of business because they're borrowing money and the shit isn't working
Yeah, they're
half the time. They're falling
super in
apart.
debt.
Yeah, and
I
once you
always
start
wondered.
getting in debt, it's hard to spiral out of it. Do you know what I mean? Like it's hard to.
Well, you either need, yeah, you either borrow more money, which just puts you more into debt. Or you hope to get bought by someone who will absorb your debt,
Yeah.
or miraculously somehow you hope to start making money, which I don't know how MoviePass intended to make money in the first place.
I think they were
Was it
selling your,
advertisers?
well, they're selling data, I think. In other words, they were tracking
Okay,
you. They're
right.
tracking you as you drive, and like they know where you're stopping odd off. So like, I don't know if you know, but Facebook is pretty creepy. Like, I could be on like mycomicshop.com or eBay, and I'm looking at like something weird, like All Star Western, okay, like comics.
Okay, you're
Like,
going to see it
I was looking for the first
immediately.
appearance of Jonah Hex, and like, how the fuck do they know? Like an advertisement, hey, if you like Jonah Hex, you might like Powwow Smith. And how does that fucking show up? Do you know what I mean? The internet knows everything. Like there was a meme that said like it had that crazy dude from Step Brothers on there with the crazy hair. I can't remember what his name is. The actor's name, Riley, is
Oh,
who's
John C.
yeah.
Riley.
It has a crazy professor like meme, and he's like making a weird face, like, but it's like, how the fuck do things show up like deja vu when
Oh yeah,
they know you're
he
looking
does
for
that
something?
character. I know what you're talking
Yeah.
about. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, how do they show
Well,
up?
isn't it just cookies?
Well, it's probably part of that, yeah. But the fact of that is they're tracking you maybe on another browse, like you could be on another tab and they're tracking you. They're not tracking you on their own app. They're tracking you
Right, well, the
because
cookies would be.
their app is up though.
Cookies are independent of browser tab, right? It's just a file on
But
your
that means when they know when
computer.
you're paying bills, that means they know when you're logging on to your bank. They know
Well,
everything.
wouldn't
And
that depend?
that's why there's going to be the end of the apocalypse, and we'll still have paper to read comics, and these other fuckers won't have shit. You
They
know
can't.
what I found too?
Hey,
Like,
you know
did
what? You know what else?
what?
Facebook cannot track when we read our paper comics.
That's right. They can't.
But they're tracking your digital comics. They know every page you've read and how long you've spent on each page.
That's right. When you're reading your Boundless comic and you're focusing
That's
on that
right.
crotch, they
They
know
know it.
exact.
They know a page you stopped on.
They know that you have. They stopped on that page with the necklace of dicks, and you looked at it for 10 minutes.
They know. They
They
know.
know. With paper comics, they don't know.
Don't. We're off the grid.
Unless you have an Alexa, then it's listening to you all the time.
If you're like you and read your comics out loud,
Yeah.
then they know.
How did you know I read my comics out loud?
What?
How did you know I read my comics out loud?
I don't know what you're talking about.
No, you just said maybe they're like you and you read your comics out. How do you know I read my comics out loud?
That was just a guess. Alexa, what's Mike reading?
What's my greeting? You're spying on me through Facebook.
Alexa, play Mike from Myers House. Oh, he's reading Superman.
You don't even buy comics. You just listen to me read them.
Just listen
You
to
say, "Hey, let's read some dark, let's read some Cullen Bunn,"
I say,
and then I read it
what
out
would I?
loud,
What I
and then
like
you
to
just.
read that I didn't buy? Oh, here's one. Listen to
So I'm
Mike read
actually reading to you all the comics I've read.
it. That's why I don't comment on the art very much. It's the story.
Maybe I'll describe the panels now that I know you're.
Ooh, this is a nice panel, Bill, for listeners.
So what else is going on? How's your comic coming? Are you making any progress?
On what, the liquor?
Yeah.
The liquor. I got to contact that dude, that art guy, the
Yeah.
artist, because I sent him a message, but I heard back from him one time, and then I sent another message and didn't hear back, so I need to. I'm guessing he's working on something else, but I'll
You
call
know,
him.
I waited too long, man. I was looking through this month's previews, and I saw somebody draw the Guesser on an Image comic, and I'm like, that's exactly what I had in mind.
Oh, the design?
Yeah.
Dang, really? I have to find my previews.
And it's like dead something or another. It's about some kind of mercenary
Oh, the
taxi
dead guesser.
driver.
Yeah, I
And I'm
saw
like, what the fuck? He's got two. The only thing is that's different is he has two X's over the eyes. But other than that, he looked exactly like I envisioned. I'm like, son of a bitch.
It sucks. It happens all the time, though.
Now I'm gonna have to redesign. I'm gonna have to put like a baby bonnet on his head or something like
You should use those designs that I sent you.
that. Well, you don't even know what you didn't design shit.
I sent you designs.
I
You didn't
don't
like them.
remember.
I sent them to you. You probably incorporated them. subconsciously. That's okay. Just put my name down as co-creator, and I'm at fine. 50% of the proceeds.
I created everything so far.
I remember I designed him. He had a hat and he had a net over his face.
Nope.
I gotta find that. I have that sketch somewhere. I'll need that for court.
This is Geek Brunch, so I'm going to eat.
Go ahead. What are you eating?
A egg sandwich with green chili and bacon.
I had an egg sandwich for breakfast as well. Mine was a little more pretentious, though.
What did you put in it?
Well, I didn't put anything in it. I just got it from Target last night because it looked interesting. And it was.
You bought an egg sandwich from Target? Is it
Yes.
frozen?
Yeah, frozen.
Oh.
Yeah, not a fresh egg sandwich.
What kind of is was it in the organic section or what?
I don't know what section it was in. Probably something like that.
Is it real egg?
Yeah, it was a real egg. Yeah, it was real
All
egg. Yeah, it wasn't I don't think
some
there is a it wasn't tofu. Yeah,
tofu egg.
it wasn't a tofu egg. But it had goat cheese and kale and tomatoes.
Goat cheese. Ugh.
Was good. It had goat cheese. It was very goat cheesy.
I'm not a kale fan. That is an awful weed. It's like a harsh weed.
I like it in moderation.
It's not like a soft weed, like a spinach leaf or something.
No,
It's like an awful bushel of.
it's a very bushy weed.
It's awful.
I
It's not even flavorful.
don't like cooked kale, but if there's like a couple leaves of fresh kale like in a salad, then I'm okay with it. Not a lot though, just a few. I do my kale in moderation. This is okay though. It's like chopped up or something.
I don't
Mostly you
think
could
I've
just
ever
taste.
had goat cheese, but it doesn't sound good.
Mostly you could just taste the goat cheese. You've never had goat cheese?
Barb says I don't like it.
It's very goaty.
Barb says, well, we have goats next door and we can
Oh,
make
there
you
you
some
go.
cheese.
There you go. Go squeeze their teats.
They smell like shit, man. They get pretty ripe by the end of the week, I'll tell you.
Why the end of the week? They wash them once a week?
I guess so. I don't know what stinks, especially if it like rains, it's really bad. And if the wind's blowing in the wrong direction. Have you ever been to like, well, you go to a zoo and let's say you're at the petting farm or whatever. It's got
Yes.
that funky smell.
Yeah, animal. The
Yeah.
animals smell.
That's what it
Yeah.
smells like.
Like a petting zoo.
Like a petting zoo.
Do you ever pet the goats?
No.
How are you gonna squeeze their teats if you don't pet them? You can't just reach in there and start yanking.
Yeah, I'll get Keith Knudsen to do that. He watched that one movie where that guy was with his goat, with
Yeah,
cows.
just be careful though. If you do start getting milk from the goat, make sure you don't start fucking it. You do not want to fall in love with your goat. I mean, yeah, with your goat. I've seen what can happen, and I know what your wife's added reaction is going to be because I saw it in the movie.
Yeah, you saw it in Keith Knudsen's favorite movie. What the hell was that movie called? I remember Hippie Malaysia. That's what it was called.
Masala.
Hippie
Yeah.
Masala.
Yes,
That was the
Hippie
weirdest fucking movie I've ever seen. Like, it
Was
was a
it doc?
documentary.
Yeah, about English. Was it English people who moved to India?
But they were like a weird bunch. It was like a
They're a
bunch
bunch
of
of
guys.
hippies.
It was a
Yeah, there's
bunch
a
of
bunch of
guys
hippies.
that, but it wasn't your like stereotypical hippie at all.
Well, I think they were like when they went over there in the 60s, but now they're all old.
Oh, was it supposed to be that? Were
I
they your
believe
ch
so.
I got the vibe that they weren't your stereotypical long-haired hippie type
I think
in a
they
Volkswagen van, you know?
I thought they were at first. Don't know. It's been a while since I've seen it. I need to watch that again.
I think they
Yes, but
had
they're.
hippie beliefs. I wonder if you could be like, do hippies like to work?
No, I don't think so. Would say in general, no.
In other words, they kind of want to just live off the nature or land and not do anything. They want some kind of existence where they don't have to work for the man.
Right. I think they'll work, I mean, to sustain themselves, but they want to do it in a group so the work is shared between everyone.
And you want to be naked a lot, right?
Yeah, you don't want to shower because that's work. And you, yeah, naked is good because that's nature.
Well, that movie had like, I think it followed like four hippies. One was like really into yoga and just wanted to live in a hut and be in
Smoke
his
weed.
yoga position and smoke weed. One of them got really into art. Do you remember that guy?
Yeah.
He was the only one that had any kind of like sort of ambition to do something. And then there was the guy that went over there and wanted to live off the land and married somebody, and his wife wanted some American to take her away from it all, and he ended up making her life worse. And I don't care what Keith Knudsen says, she hated him for it, and that was the guy who fucked the cow.
Yeah, that was the guy who was in love with his cow.
Yeah.
Yeah, what was that guy? That guy didn't seem like a hippie. Like, I don't think he was ever a hippie.
I don't think
Was the
so
wife
either.
a hippie?
No, she
Dude.
was. Was she Indian? I can't remember what her nationality was.
Oh,
His
yeah, she might.
wife was in that other country he moved to.
Yeah, she might have been.
She wanted an American so she could leave that
Oh,
life.
yeah, she wanted to go
And
back
her
to.
life got worse. I mean, they literally lived in like, like it had walls and it had like an aluminum roof over the top.
Yeah, they're like at the base of a mountain or something, and
Yeah, and he had
in a
like a couple
rocky area.
chickens and a cow and I don't know, it was weird. That guy was weird.
And I think he would just get up in the morning and go out to the cow and spend all the day taking care of the cow. Yeah, she hated him. She looked at him like daggers in her eyes. She was not happy with her current situation.
And we still have that argument to this day. We could clearly see that she did not appreciate her man. She didn't. But Keith couldn't see that. He's the only one that can't see it. Like me and Daryl would look at it and say, "Are you crazy? She hates him." It was bluntly obvious. I mean, her dreams were shattered when she married this man, and then she's like, I mean, she's cooking like a bowl of maggots 'cause that's all they can eat. I mean, it's like, what the hell?
She's collecting bugs for dinner.
Yeah, it was bad. So, we got some books to talk about.
Yes. A couple of them I could not find, I have
I
to
think one of
admit.
them had maggots in it. God, I can't remember. I mean, just to segue in.
That's a good segue. Which one had maggots?
I can't remember which one. But we read a lot of Cullen Bunn stories.
Well, you did.
Well, you read the first issues.
Read the first. Yes. But I read the first issues like a while ago, not recently. And I
And
couldn't find them. I couldn't find them.
you know what was interesting for me? I loved Unsound number one. So
Yes.
going into this reading week, I thought Unsound was gonna be the top. Like I thought it was gonna be the best. And I read issues one of Dark Ark and what was the Unholy Grail.
Unholy Grail, yes.
And you know what I rated those two?
I'm going to say you gave Dark Ark 3 out of 5
Yes.
and Unholy Grail 4 out of 5.
No, I gave both of them a 3 out of 5 when I read issue one. But
Okay.
by the time I was done, I gave Unholy Grail a 5 out of 5,
Whoa.
and the Dark Ark a high 4 out of 5. So if I would have went by issue one, I'll be honest with you. If I would have went by issue one, for me personally, I could have said I could have dropped those books and have been okay with my decision. But then I would have missed out on like a fantastic fucking story. The other way with Unsound, I felt like number one was like the best of the issues. I liked it more because it was a little more grounded, like sort of in
Yeah,
reality, and
I
I
can see
could
that.
get it, and then it became like surreal and then kind of ended in reality. But I thought number one was a 5 out of 5, and then I rated the rest of it a 3 out of 5. So your number one theory is really
It's
would really would
backwards.
really fuck me, I think, in reality. Like it would
So
not.
you're saying what I should do is instead of getting the 5 out of 5 books, get the 3 out of 5 books.
Yes. That's what I think.
Interesting.
I think what you should do when you order a trade is if it's 5 out of 5 and it starts out a 5 out of 5, then don't order the trade. But if you get a 3 out of 5, then order the trade.
Interesting theory. I should probably base it on the writer, though. Like, if it's a writer that I like and it starts out weak, I should just trust the writer.
I think Regression stuck the landing though. Like I felt Regression had a great first issue, and the rest of it was great as well.
Yeah, it lived up to the. That had maggots in
That did. That had a
it.
lot of maggots.
Okay, let's talk about Unsound. So this is the one where a young woman gets a job at a insane asylum, and as soon as she gets there, weird things start happening. Like she starts finding like razor blades lying around, and she starts seeing things and hearing things. And then, like you said, it kind of
Well,
goes from
they're
being.
totally understaffed.
Oh, at the yeah, at the
She's going to help these people, but when she gets there, she notices like the ratio of the inmates to the doctors or the nurses is really off. Like, there's way more crazy people there. And then the other thing that was interesting, if I remember this correctly, because I read number one a long time ago and I didn't go reread it. There wasn't she in an apartment though? Like she was staying at like she lived in an apartment that had crazy people? Or am I thinking of something else?
No, they did show her like walking down the street, and they showed some people in their apartments, but I don't think they ever went back to that.
I'm getting that
Because
confused
there,
with
yeah,
another
there's like a
book.
hoarder. Yeah, there's a, oh, there, well, there's like a hoarder and like a cat lady.
I think I'm getting it confused with the guy who wrote that shark book that I started to buy all his books from, Daniel White, or well, the book was white. He's an artist
Oh,
and a creator.
that's Schaefer.
Yeah, Kevin Schaefer, isn't that his name?
No, Dan Schaefer.
Dan Schaefer. I think I'm getting it confused with one of his books.
Maleficent,
No,
Malfeasance.
that one she slept with a she was a psychologist, a psychiatrist who slept with one of her patients, and he was a serial killer. So
They
she lost
finally
her
bringing out the trade for that one. I'm very excited.
It's out
I can
already.
finally read it. Trade?
I have it.
I
A
don't have it.
matter of fact, it was weird because
Oh, maybe I have it.
it came out before issue 8 came out.
Really?
Yeah. 'Cause I was really worried I wasn't gonna get issue 8, you know? And I don't know if it's just that like DCBS got shorted or something or damaged and then they had to replace it later. It could have been that case, but
Oh, son of a bitch, I have it. We need to read that one.
it wasn't that one because that premise is
Okay.
she takes over from her father after that incident to run an insane asylum. I think it was, oh man, I can't even remember what it was. He writes a lot
Oh,
about,
you're talking about the Scribbler.
yes, the Scribbler.
Yeah, that's where they had the
They
the
had the
other
hotel
people
full
in
of
the
that were yeah were in,
yeah, crazy people.
he has that a lot in his books, like holy mackerel.
Crazy people.
I'm even reading
Crazy.
the one which I haven't been able to complete that's not collected from Sirius. I forget when that one's Dog Witch.
Oh, Dog Witch was. There's some trades of Dog Witch.
I didn't think there were.
I have one of them.
Oh, is Dog Witch the one that he released from Sirius and then he re-released them as an image book or something? I can't remember.
Yeah, I don't know.
That one is a little different, but it has insanity in it. But anyway, this one had like I felt like a creepier presence than what it turned out to be. Unsound.
I liked it. I agree with you, though. Once it got to the more supernatural stuff, I kind of lost interest a little bit just because that's not my favorite area of my favorite subject. But I did like the whole like when they went like into the basement or whatever, or the wing of the hospital that no one ever went to. But that's when it started getting really weird. And then the ending was kind of, I can't remember the ending. It was kind of
Well,
confusing, I thought.
I like the real premise of it. Like, the whole premise was this insane asylum was closed because of budgetary reasons. So they released
Right, they
a
released
good
all
they
the.
released a good portion of their inmates just to go out. I guess the ones that were more stable.
Yeah.
And then they shipped off the remainder to other insane asylums. But it was really weird and the ending was really bizarre and I wanted it sounds like you don't remember it, but
I remember it. It was weird.
I'll tell you my interpretation of it and then you could tell me if it matters. But during this whole story they kind of lead you to believe that this woman had suicidal tendencies with the razor blades as a kid. And I guess she got out of it, but then it switches it and then it switches it to the mother. And she was using the razor blades and the father was using the razor blades and everybody was using the razor blades in her vision. But the way I interpreted this is her mom was really crazy. And her mom was telling her this story, I thought. Because she was in a mental institution and she was out of it, but I think she was being convinced that the unsound really existed, or she was freaking out about the story that her mother was telling her, and it started to become like a reality, and we kind of watched that in that story, but that's how I read it.
So you think the whole story with her is just her mother's telling of a story?
Well, I think her mother is the mother of the razor blades. I think she's the one that she grew up with her mother trying to kill herself.
Yeah.
And she went to an asylum. And I think she was the way it read is they're talking at the end of it. And the way it read to me is that her mother told her about the unsound, and this kind of had a profound effect on her, like this thing might exist or it might not exist. So she was just walking around and realizing, I don't even know if she ever really worked at that place. I think that place existed and her mother got reassigned to a location, but it was such a weird ending that I would have to go ask somebody, like, what did this really mean? Because it got really weird in there about the prince. The prince is the one guy that was kind of guiding her around the basement, and
Yeah.
he wore like a paper mask, and he said, well, if you wanted to survive, you had to have a paper mask over your face.
Right.
But she didn't need it. And there was some creepy shit in there, like there's one scene where the nurse is like, there's that one black nurse that works with her, and she was inside the basement there, and she had this like scene with the pills, like these patients are constantly getting pills, and this
Well,
one patient,
she was taking them too.
well, yeah, the one patient though regurgitated that pill. And then she swallowed that pill, and then she became out of it. Like, she was gone. But I don't even know if that was real or if that was Memorex. That's the problem I had with the book. Like, I.
Don't know what actually happened and what was in her mind or her mom's mind.
It didn't come across very clearly to me. I think that's what was missing. Like, I think somebody else could read this story and get something else out of it. I sort of made up what I think without any kind of clear fact on. I read what I read and I'm interpreting it to be that, but I have no idea. It was just too weird. What was your thoughts? Do you have anything to add on the ending? Like what?
No, like I said at the beginning, I was kind of confused by the ending because for sure she, because like at one point she escapes and she's running and everything's weird and there's all this psychedelic stuff, and then she comes up to the building and it's closed, like it's been closed for years,
Yeah. So
and then she's.
did she even work there? I don't know about that.
Yeah, but then she's sitting there with her mother, and her mother's in some other hospital, and she's talking to her about the unsound.
The way I read it is her mother was insane, and she has elements that may be like, I think you could have a hereditary like gene in you. Like, I don't know what makes people think outside of reality, but whatever it is, I think it's affecting her daughter now. Like, she's hit an age now where she doesn't know what's real or what's not real, or to believe her
Right.
mother or not. And she's like seeing things too, because she, like you said, she walked by the old place and she saw that the prince in the window. She saw him there holding the white paper mask up against his face. So I don't know.
So I think I almost need to read it again, like with that knowledge, and to try and read. Because I'm sure a lot of the stuff in the story is just symbolism, like the masks and all.
Yeah.
But yeah, and I think it is that the mother suffers from these delusions, or are they delusions? We don't know. And now, yeah, the daughter is as well. And the mother says that they're real, but I guess at this point the daughter doesn't know. Yeah, but I guess the one thing I don't understand is the tie between the main story and then talking to her mother at the end. Like, was she talking to her mother the whole time, or did she experience all this and then go talk to her mother about it? That might have been. So she experienced all this stuff and then went to her mother to try and figure out what just happened to her.
Could be. It's real hard to gauge.
We'll have to ask Mr. Bunn at a convention.
Well, I like the idea of like a Schaefer played around played around with this too about like it. How could I describe it? It gets so weird. Like they never know what is reality or what is real. And I like that some of them. I like the concept of an insane asylum run by the inmates. Like, I think they played with that in American Horror Story. I think Schaefer played with that with Malefic. Like, one of the nurses there is really an inmate. And then he played with it too because there's that one guy that works there
Yeah, they had the
that
inmates
was an
too.
actual inmate. I just wish it was a little more grounded. Like, if it was a little more grounded so I could tell what was real and what wasn't, instead of it being open to my interpretation. Like, some people I'm sure prefer that it could be open to their interpretation, but then I don't feel like I, like Cullen Bunn, I was getting what he was getting when he was writing this. Do you know what I mean?
Right. And I think I'm of the same mind as you. I'd rather know exactly what the author was intending me to get from the
Yeah.
story rather than me trying to figure out what exactly. I mean, I can appreciate that there are people who like to figure things out and come away with it with their own interpretation of the story, but I'd rather just know what the author intended. That makes me happier.
Because that's their vision. Like, that's what they're getting excited about. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
And
exactly.
I want to be in on it. Like, I want to be in on what he's thinking. And if I can't figure that out, then I don't know.
Right, coming away with it with a vague notion of what happened and what you think the author was intending isn't really satisfying for people like us. But we're engineers, so
Yeah.
that's our limitation.
That's a good point. I never thought of it like that. Like, somebody that has like an English major may interpret something and like that, whereas we're
We're
taught to be
fact-based.
our brains are fact-based and they're mathematically like
Right, one plus
it,
one equals two.
yeah. Yeah, it's like a yeah. It,
So
it's
tell me the
tell
formula.
me what the formula is. It's kind of like when I was studying fields and waves.
Oh, I hate waves.
Oh my God, Maxwell's equations were like, there was always a bridge. Like, I went to an interview once, and I surprised the hell out of them, because they asked me. I interviewed with three people. They said, you're gonna have a job and you're gonna be doing X, but you're gonna be working in three different fields. You're gonna be working with the mathematician. This job sounded like a perfect job, by the way. But when I heard the pay, I was like, holy shit, you're gonna want me to do all this shit and pay me this? I was like, ha ha ha, no thank you. But it was the toughest interview I ever went to. I interviewed with a computer science guy, so I had to show him that I could program. I interviewed with a mathematician and then a physics guy. And the one math guy, he says, I only have one question for you. He says, can you go up on the board here and derive Maxwell's equations for me? And this is where things get really like weird. Like, I had just taken a freaking exam about Maxwell's
So,
equations.
is this when you're in school still?
I'm still in school. I'm trying to find my
Okay, so
way. Like,
it's fresh in your
it's
mind,
fresh in
yeah.
my head. I just derived
Yeah.
the damn things. So I got on the board and I just started going off like shh. And I was being honest. I was like, this one area is kind of vague to me and I really don't get it, but here's how I do it. Cuz there are pieces of the thing where you get into, what do they call it, theories and stuff like that, where math kind of breaks down, in my opinion. Like, your mind has to shift. And but yeah, I always think mathematically or like systematically, or And that's probably why when I read a story like this, I just want to know what you're th what the author's thinking. Like, don't leave it up to me to figure it out. I want to know what you're the person with the imagination. I want to know what you're telling me.
Yeah, it's your vision. So what was your vision? How did
Yeah.
you intend us to interpret the story?
I couldn't derive Maxwell's equations today. I'll tell you
I
that right now.
know that first I was impressed. I was like, because I thought it was like midway through your career or something. I'm like, dang, he it's impressive you remember that stuff.
That was like right out of
If you're fresh
college.
from taking a,
I got that job. Like they made me an offer and I asked for a counter offer and they really didn't want to pay me what I think that job was worth.
should have paid.
It was like 10 grand off of my other offers. There was no way I was gonna take it. But it sounded like it sounded like the best opportunity. It was weird.
So do you
Like
regret not taking
to
it?
use all, I regret nothing.
That's
I regret
the
every
right
time
attitude.
I regret only one thing whenever I try to cancel comics and then I should have never re started it again.
That's good.
But I
It's
ended
not good
up,
to have too many regrets.
I remember giving Unsound a 5 out of 5, and then I gave the remainder a 3 out of 5 because I couldn't, even though there were elements of the story, I was like, yeah, I get it, that's awesome. I just felt like, I don't know. I still enjoyed it, so I gave it a 3 out of 5, but a five
I
out of
think
five for the first issue.
I go to 4 out of 5, and I like the art a lot too, Jack Cole art.
Yeah, I liked him.
And I still like the prince guy with the mask on his face. He's creepy. But when it got very out there, that's when it did lose me a little bit.
Yeah, it's like what? You introduce all these great characters, but are they even real? Or are they just in this woman's mind? I didn't know. I didn't know what was real. I didn't even know if she really had a job. After I got to the conclusion.
Yeah, they kind of, and it is weird when you like read a whole story and then they throw something like that at you, like it never existed in the first place. It's like, well, what the hell did
I would not recommend this to anybody that has had suicidal thoughts at all. Because there's like creepy, horrific scenes where like she'll run into one hallway and there's three women there standing and like one woman's like bleeding off the arms because of the razor blades and like her whole arms are just bleeding. And I mean there's like a lot of razor blade things going on in this.
Right, which I mean, I interpret that as being probably the mom tried to kill herself at some point, and then the daughter did as well.
Yeah. Well, they made it sound like it was the whole family doing it at one point in the story. Even the person there's one scene and it was like one of those scenes that I don't even know if this is real, but where the caseworker or whatever comes in and knocks at the door and the girl opens up the door and she says, "Oh my God, everybody in the family's like cutting their wrists like with razor blades." And then the caseworker gets out a razor blade and joins in on the fun and starts cutting her wrists and I'm like, "Oh my God." That was pretty freaky.
Yeah, and at that point, I figured that wasn't real.
You know, the other day I was dreaming about recursion and it was the worst night's sleep I ever got. You know, like a function that calls itself? Like a Fibonacci series? Oh my God, I just kept on dreaming of.
Of things recurring, recursioning.
Well, I was doing something that involved recursion, and when I do recursion, I have to kind of think a little bit outside the box and the way my brain normally works, because it's something that calls itself over and over again until it completes. And I think of the Fibonacci series, mathematically. I mean, there's several. If you Google recursion, you'll find out a lot of mathematical recursive type. And if you ever code in AI languages, they deal in recursion. I even forget what those languages are. Lisp, and a couple of those weird languages. I've never had to use them, but I've taken courses where it involved it, and the whole language is you have to think in terms of recursion. I wonder if that's how the brain works. It's just like this recursive, but holy mackerel. Do you
Sure it
ever have
is.
dreams of things that are work related and you wake up in the morning and it feels like you got zero sleep because your mind is, it feels like it worked all night?
Yeah. Mostly mine is like, I won't be able to fall asleep because something's stuck in my brain and I can't get rid of it.
Yeah. But mine turns into nonsensical. I don't wake up in the morning and go, "Wow, I got an idea."
Equals MC
The
squared.
idea usually comes when I'm in the shower or the toilet, but I wasted a whole night dreaming of nonsense to me.
Yeah, trying
Yeah.
to get to it. Well, it's your brain just working through the issues.
It's probably trying to defrag my brain, trying to reclaim those white spaces, those white
That's
dots.
why sometimes if I'm having a particularly hard day and I can't solve a problem, I'll just forget about it and then come in the next day. And then the next day I'll sit there and bring it up, and all of a sudden I'll be like, oh, I didn't do this.
Yeah,
And like
it's weird how
it seems so easy.
if you step away, your brain like can refresh and think differently.
There.
Because if you don't step away, you're thinking down the same path. Do you know what I mean? And it's leading you nowhere.
Yeah, your brain needs time to figure it out on its own.
Yeah.
You need to step out of the way and just let your brain work.
So, you read something that I didn't read. You read a couple of things.
Did.
I didn't order them. I didn't order She Could Fly, and I didn't order Blackwood.
I'm not surprised that you didn't order Blackwood. I'm surprised you didn't order She Could Fly. Because that's a burger book, so I thought you might, the connection to DC there. So I
I
thought you
did
might
I,
get
I I
those.
did read two burger books this week, but I didn't read that. Yeah.
You didn't get it, right?
I didn't get it. Yeah, I didn't order it. I didn't pre-order it. I think I didn't get it because there were so many themed books like that. Like there was Skyward and
So many Flying Girl books.
yeah, it's like flying stuff, and I was like, okay, if I'm gonna choose one, I'm gonna choose this because it seems more grounded. Books about you could
So to
fly, it
speak,
seems more
yeah.
grounded.
I get it.
When I say that, I
I
mean the
saw what you
writing is
did.
a
I
little
saw what
more
you did
grounded.
there.
But
I saw what you did there.
let's talk about She Could Fly a little bit.
Okay, so the
Well, first
premise.
impression, did you like this book?
I did. I gave it a 4 out of 5.
Okay.
So the story opens where, in this reality, and I don't remember if I think it's just in present day. I don't think it takes place in the future or anything. I don't remember if it specifically says. Yeah, it doesn't really say. So, starts out where. In the news, there's stories of this girl who has been seen flying in the air. So this is a world where just our normal world. So this is an unusual event, and people are like, every once in a while, someone will see her flying through the sky and freak out, and take pictures with their phones, and then it will make the news, like flying girl seen again. And then we jump to the main character, which is this woman who She has this, she has OCD, like some kind of weird OCD. And she has, so she has an OCD where, like, the type of thing where if you're walking down the street, you can't step on, you know, she can't step on the cracks or something like that because the bad things will happen. Or she has to do, like, some repetitive things, otherwise, you know, the world will end or bad things will happen in
Yeah.
her life. And she keeps having these weird, she keeps having these visions where she's like killing her family, or she has one, she has this one vision where she, her mother gives her like this cactus, and she takes the cactus and then she bites into the cactus, and then she kills her mother. And she's hearing these voices in her head saying that she's worthless and she's a killer and she's going to kill everyone. So this woman, she appears to be in her, I think she lives with her parents. She might be like in her 20s, maybe early 20s. And yeah, she t so what was the, and then so there's like a bunch of setups of different things going on. Like she talks to her guidance counselor about it, and then something bad happens to her guidance counselor, and her grandmother comes back from Asia because she was studying like shamanism in Asia. And then there's this other dude who, he's sleeping with a prostitute, but now the prostitute's like in love with him. And then at the very end, something happens with the flying girl and a connection to the main girl in the story. So this is kind of like setting things up, but it was really well done. And the thing I liked about it is all of the like side stories, like with the dude and the prostitute and the woman, like, and the guidance counselor, or just the woman in general. They're all really they're interestingly told, and they're really well-developed characters. So I liked it a lot. I thought it was really good. And the art was good. The art was by the guy who does Ice Cream Man. So it's kind of, it's almost like a,
It's
it's like
that
a,
Martin Marazzo or whatever his name is.
yeah, Morazzo. It's almost like a simpler, what's that dude's name? Patara. It's like a simpler version of Nick Patara's art.
Oh yeah. That guy's got a lot of detail, so that's interesting.
Yeah. Well, you read, did you read Ice Cream Man?
Not yet. I haven't read it yet.
Yeah. I like it. He has good art. I like it. So I like this. It's, and I guess it's a, so, because I like it because there's kind of two main things going on. There's the guy who was with the prostitute, I think actually works for some company who it seems like they're possibly behind the girl who could fly. Like she might have been using their technology or something like that.
Yeah.
And then you have the story of this girl who has this like mental illness and is trying to deal with it. And then she's going to have some connection to this flying woman. So it's interesting. I like the world. I like the world that they've started to develop here. Thumbs up.
It sounds interesting.
Yeah, it was really good.
If you would have picked it a little earlier when I was at the comic shop on Wednesday, I might have grabbed it because I know they had it.
And it's written by Christopher Cantwell, who apparently is the co-creator of a TV show that I like, Halt and Catch Fire.
Yeah, I've never seen it.
Well, you refuse to watch it because it's about computers.
That's all I need.
It's the story of, it's the story of, well, the first season is about PC, like a company who tries to bring out the first home PC.
Are you talking
And then
about the Silicon Valley one, or is that something different?
that's something different.
Okay.
And then one of the seasons is about them. They have a BBS they start. They're running like a BBS and like an online game type thing. And I think third season's like the start of the internet, so they're starting an internet company. But it's basically about this tech company who started with the first PC and then has kind of moved up through the years, adapting to the new technology.
Speaking of burger books, did you get that what was it called? It was the one by that Bourdain,
Oh,
ghost something or
the
another.
ghosts, yeah, the five ghosts or whatever, hungry ghosts.
Hungry Ghost. Yeah, did you get that?
I did get that.
Do you have the whole thing?
I got the first issue.
Oh, we want to cover. Do you, did you read it?
I did read it.
Oh, okay. I was like something I want to recover. I want to read. I was wondering if you bought the trade.
I did not.
You didn't like it.
I think I gave it a 3 out of 5.
That means it's a 5 out of 5, though.
It could have turned into a 5 out of 5.
I gotta
If I'm
pay.
not.
I gotta pay attention to your 3 out of 5s that I don't read, because those are the ones I'm really gonna
Ones.
like.
Put a star next to those.
Yeah, I gotta put an asterisk. That's the one I need to get story for.
If I'm not mistaken, that one is like an anthology framed, but I liked, so they start out where these people are having like dinner at this restaurant, and then I think they start telling, each of them start telling stories, so that's kind of like the main story is the story they're telling. But
Yeah.
I actually liked, like, I liked the first, I like the setup better than the actual story that the person was telling. Like, I would rather have just seen a story about the people at that table eating.
Oh. Well, I think I'm gonna read that for next time. I've been wanting to read that. I'm gonna talk about a book
Tell
then
me
that
how I screwed up.
I'm gonna talk about a book that I'm almost 100% sure that you didn't buy. Eternal Thirst of Dracula.
I did not buy it. I don't even remember this book being in preview. Was it a Kickstarter?
No, this was in previews under
Was it
American
Boundless?
Mythology.
Oh, American Mythology. Really?
And the
I'm gonna
guys who
look it
do
up.
Pink Panther and stuff like that. It's by Mike Wolfer and Roy Allen Martinez. And I gave this a 5 out of 5. I think it was freaking
Wow.
awesome.
What's it called?
And I didn't pick up number 2 for some reason. Eternal Thirst of Dracula. And I bought the mature cover. It's got a bunch of female vampires on the cover with breasts. I thought I was gonna get a different type story. Like I remember renting a video at when I was younger called Vampires, but it was spelled with a Y. I always call it Vampri, but it's not, according to Barb. But
Vampires is fine.
yeah, it was VCR in 19 that came out in 19 this film came out in 1978 about a bunch of female vampires, and I thought that's what this would be. And then being that Mike Wolfer, has done like Ragdoll and a couple other things that I read, I kind of thought it would be this, but it turned out to be something very, very cool. It's like, what if you have this B-list director slash writer slash producer like Ed Wood, and he makes these really fast films. Like, he makes these B films in 1 week to 2 weeks. He makes these horror films, and he gets actors like you would, like Bela Lugosi and stuff, like actors that are foreign that may be popular in another country, but they weren't too popular in the States. But he'd get like good actors in these films, and he turned them around really quick. So it has like that flavor, 'cause there's a lot of directors and stuff that can turn around things really quick and for low money. And this is what that guy is. And he gets a call from his producer, and he's like, he's trying to avoid him because he knows he needs 3 more days of shooting to finish the film, and it's 3 more days than was given to him originally, and he doesn't want to answer the phone. But he finally picks up the phone, and it's that producer, and he says, "Hey, I got a job for you." And he says, "Well, I have to finish your film, and I want 3 more days." And he says, "You can't really have it because the film's going to be cut in on Friday." And he says, "Well, I have something else for you. I need you to fly out to this island because there's some financer out there that wants to finance movies." And He goes, "Well, if you give me the 3 extra days, I'll fly out there tonight and then I'll be back in the morning to continue on the film." So he flies out there, he gets there, and it's like an island, and it's a real weird travel situation. He has to use like one of those passenger planes to fly in, and it's on an island and real recluse. And he gets there, and there's some guy with a shotgun, and I don't know, he's like, "Why do you have a shotgun?" And he goes, "Oh, we have rattlesnakes at night, so I might have to shoot the or not rattlesnakes, cobras." And he says, "I might have to shoot some cobras." So he didn't think anything of it. And they run across this field, and there's a girl like in the brush, and she's like panicking. And he says, "Don't mind her. They need to be in the village by nightfall, and she's probably scared, and just let her go." So they walk into this like castle, and this guy comes down the stairs, and he goes, "What is this, like a freaking play on Dracula? What the hell are you doing?" And he says, "My name is Dracula." And he goes, "Yeah, right. You know," he's like, I've seen this bullshit before." He says, "You know what? Call me in the morning, and we'll talk, and you can finance your Dracula movie. I gotta go." So he like leaves. And then as he's leaving, there's like this vampire chick hanging upside down from a tree, getting ready to attack him. And it's like, holy fuck. But I really liked it, man. I thought this was great, like a great setup for like. It reminded me of that movie, like Shadow of the Vampire, where it was playing off of Nosferatu, and they were filming Nosferatu, and Nosferatu actually was Nosferatu. He was a vampire. That's what this reminded me of, and it was just awesome. So I am going to try to seek out number two because I want to know what happens.
Cool.
Good stuff.
Yeah, I think they brought out a, I think I didn't get it because didn't they bring out like a couple of monster books? Like that's a thing for them now. They're bringing out like some classic monster type books.
Well, they had that one, and then they had another one, and they tend to play around in Edgar Rice Burroughs area,
Maybe
like,
that's what
but
I'm
not with
thinking.
non-Tarzan stuff. So, I did read another one called Carson of Venus, and I read a werewolf one from them too.
Yeah, I think those, I just haven't gotten any of those, so.
I figured. But now I think I'm gonna if it's like a Mike Wolfer book that I'll buy it for sure, because I like the other one and I did like the Carson of Venus too. I didn't really even know that it was like Carson of Venus, and I'm a DC guy, but Carson of Venus played as a backup to one of the DC titles, and it was written by Len Wein, so. There is that connection. A matter of fact, the new previews has the reprint of the Len Wein one from American Mythology, and I'm like looking forward to that. And Carson of Venus is like, how can I? It's almost like a ripoff of John Carter, Warlord of Mars, which he also did.
Ripped himself off.
Well, he almost said, "Well, like I have John Carter on Mars, well, why can't I have
Hey,
Carson on
what about
Venus?"
Venus?
The only thing about John Carter of Mars is he kind of like went through a portal. Like he was a Western guy, went through a portal, and then ended up on Mars. Carson of Venus is an astronaut, and he actually flew to Venus, and that's how he got there. But what I didn't know is that there's a crossover, and I didn't even know it was a crossover because I guess I didn't pay attention to the solicit, but. This Carson of Venus crossed it over with Land of the Forgotten Time or whatever, the land that time forgot, and a couple other properties that were written by the same author. And you're supposed to read this one and then jump to that one and then jump to another one. And I didn't order
Crossover.
those other three, which is a good idea because if I order this Eternal Thirst of Dracula, I should order those other two so I can finish the story.
Was there any indication in the solicits that there were
I don't usually
linked?
read solicits.
Yeah.
I usually look at it and I look at the picture, and I do read solicits like later after my order, and sometimes I'll add stuff to my order based on the solicit. But I usually have like 90% of my order that first scan. Like I'll know everything I want that very first time I look through previews on a Wednesday when I get my previews from the store. I like know everything I want, and then I find like 10 to 15 things
Yeah,
just,
later.
yeah.
Yeah, I guess I'm the same way. Like the first time I go through it, I'll pull out the names of all the stuff I'm interested in. And then later I'll find some additional stuff. But in
Yeah.
my case, I then whittle it down to an affordable level, whereas you just place your order.
So you read one other one that I didn't read,
I did. I
Blackwood. And
read
what? Why did you?
Blackwood.
Why did you think I would not order that though? Isn't that a horror book?
Yeah, I guess it is. I thought it was more. It's kind of. It seems like it's going to go more kind of like the adventure route. But it does take place in the real world. I guess it is more horror than. I don't know. So it. Here's what it's written. I got it because it's written by Evan Dorkin, who I like, and the art is by Veronica Fish. This is another Dark Horse book. I guess you're a Dark Horse. You stopped getting Dark Horse, so
No, I
what's
didn't
the?
stop getting Dark Horse. This isn't a Karen Berger book. This is.
This is a straight up Dark Horse book.
The cover looks great.
Yeah, it's very, yeah, why didn't you get this?
I don't know. I think it was the month that I was cutting back, and I cut back on number ones.
It was
So there, She Could
the
Fly
dark
and
month.
Blackwood. I bet they're from the same month.
Yeah.
I bet you if you look at the month, they were in the same previews.
So this one is about a girl who's starting at a new college, and the college is Blackwood College. And I can't remember if they were given like scholarships to this place. But basically all these kids are getting free rides to this school, and the one kid says that they're there to study pagan witch cults. And they're studying, this is what it says, they're studying lore. It's part of the liberal and esoteric arts program. And basically all these kids, they realized that they were all kind of they didn't get the best grades in school, and somehow they managed to get a scholarship to the school. So this is where they all kind of ended up. Like they're the ones who didn't do well in school. So this was kind of like their only option. And our story follows four of the kids who are rooming in this, like, there was no rooms left in the dorm, so they got put in like this house that's on campus that the school owns. And you kind of get to know all of the different characters. The main character is this girl with white hair. She has really short white hair, and when they ask her about her hair, she gets mad and won't tell them about it. But one of the girls heard that she was like involved in some kind of a massacre where like all of her friends were killed, and she was like the last one. She was the only one who like lived through it. So there's some darkness in her past, and she's a really interesting character. And then at night, so they're sleeping at night in their house, and they hear some noises outside, and they go investigate it. And some weird stuff happens. They see the headmaster, and he like takes off his, or they, I can't remember if they rip off his jacket or he takes off his jacket. I think he might attack them, and they rip off his jacket, and he has like these like Cthulhu tentacles like coming out of his back, and he like grabs the kids and stuff. So it's kind of like, I wouldn't say it's straight up horror. It's more, I don't know, supernatural
It
Lovecraft
sounds like
horror.
What was that title called that DC put out? Gotham. It was the school for kids. It's not Gotham High, is it? What the hell was it?
Gotham Academy?
But yeah, Gotham Academy. It even had a girl with white hair. It sounds so familiar.
I read the first issue of Gotham Academy, but I don't think I read past that. It
Yeah, it got
was good, though.
really good. Gotham Academy did. Did you
Oh, I
get
like
the
this.
cover A with the ravens on the top and then the castle underneath it, or?
Yeah, I got that one.
Okay. Don't see what the variant looks like, but it's by Becky Cloonan.
I like this, and I mostly liked it because I liked the interaction of the kids, the college kids. I think that Dorkin did a good job of capturing it. It read very real, so I
Yeah.
like the characters.
Well, I got another one from American Mythology, Pink Panther Snow Day.
Ah, I haven't
And
got any of the Pink Panther books.
I used to love Pink Panther as a kid. And they typically do two short stories and then one classic story reprinted from something. And
Right.
the thing I don't care about on the classic stories is they don't feel like the cartoon at all because Pink Panther talks. And like that original story was from like ni number 49 from 1978, and the other two stories were new stories, and I like those a lot more because the writers have a tendency to understand what that cartoon was about. Like a lot of the Pink Panther cartoons, they didn't have to even have any vocals. So you'd have the inspector and the Pink Panther, and you'd have music and then sequences, but there might not be a whole lot of talking. And if there were talking, it usually wasn't those characters. So on the first one, it's just like a snow day, and it starts off with kids playing like with snowballs and stuff outside. And he goes outside to shovel snow outside his house, the Pink Panther, and then the inspector dude is out there, and he's got one of those snow blowers, and he blow all the snow that he just shoveled, he blows back into his yard. And it turns into that they're having a sled race, and these two guys get into a race, and the inspector has this like snowmobile, and he's racing against actually physical sleds, but the inspector ends up getting the worst of it, which is the typical Pink Panther. The second Pink Panther story is like classic cartoon Pink Panther because Pink Panther often had a narrator, and he would be like talking to the Pink Panther as he was doing things, and he was almost like a narrator that was in the story because he would always try to convince Pink Panther to do something. And this one, Pink Panther just wants to watch football, and it's football Sunday, he's all prepped. And one of the first things he does is like spill nacho cheese all over his shirt. So the narrator's like, "You can't have that. That's bad luck for your team if you have nacho cheese all over your jersey, so go clean it." So he goes up and cleans it, and it's a bunch of whole scenes where the narrator's convincing him to do housework, and clean up his house during halftime, and he doesn't even get to watch the game. And he finally realizes the narrator's full of shit and he's gonna watch the second half of the game. But it's pretty hilarious because the writers got the cartoon. Like they understood the cartoon. And I really appreciated that. And American mythology, I don't know, they tend to like just throw out issue one issues. Like they do the Three Stooges, they'll throw out one issue. And then you don't see it again for another 6 months, and then they'll throw out another three issues. I mean, another Three Stooges, and it's one more issue called something else. And they tend to do that a lot because I don't know if it's because they're sales and they figure they could sell a number one, but maybe not a number two or what.
Yeah.
Maybe they think Bill Bomer's buying them, and which you obviously are not because
Right.
you don't buy anything from American Mythology.
I buy their Casper. I buy their Harvey stuff.
Yeah, they do have Casper, and that's made it up to number three, believe it or not. So, I think
But they have had a lot of spin-off Casper
have Hunt
stories.
Underdog too, I think.
Yeah, I don't get that one either. I never watched Underdog.
I used to watch Underdog, but not religiously. Like, it was I'd catch it whenever it was on.
You know, it's interesting that the Pink Panther, that you feel the backup one, like the old story, stuck less to the TV show when the comic and the TV sh like the comic came out around when the TV show was on the still on the air. So they it was a conscious decision on their part.
Well, no, they've done that a lot with like Gold Key was doing a lot of these books, and their decision back then was we don't think we could be successful telling a story without words. So they made a decision to have it. Like you, if you buy a Gold Key Beep Beep Roadrunner and with a coyote, the Roadrunner speaks. And
Because
everybody
they
in
didn't want
that
to do
book
silent
speaks.
books,
Yeah,
yeah.
like Coyote will speak. So it feels really off to a fan that watched the cartoons and these characters never spoke. So like if you buy books back then, yeah, the publisher made a conscious decision to say, "Hey, we want kids to read and not just look at pictures, I guess, and we don't think we could get the point across, so
Yeah.
let's put words in them and make these characters that never say a word talk." And that Pink Panther story wasn't bad, but they could have done it. They could have done the same story.
Yeah,
The
without
classic
words.
story was simply Pink Panther wanted to find the meaning of life or what it was like to be happy. So he goes to like this mountain and
That's
starts
a very deep
climbing.
story. Very
Yeah.
deep.
Well, he just wants to go climb this mountain to find like this Zen being up at the top of the mountain and find out what the meaning of life is. So he climbs the mountain and he runs into the abominable snowman, and the abominable snowman wants to eat him. So that's the whole adventure. And then he runs into that guy, and they both end up falling down the mountain. And the Zen guy is like, "I want nothing to do with you." But they could have easily told that without words, with just visuals, and you would have gotten the same thing. And
Right.
a lot of the comics that would want to do it that way, they'd show like the thought bubble. Like it would show like a thought bubble, and maybe he'd have the Pink Panther in a bowl of stew or something like that in the drawing. So you know what the abominable snowman is thinking. But in this one, they're actually talking, so it's weird.
But this, it looks like this book went on for 87 issues, so whatever, even though they were doing it differently than TV show, it was apparently still popular
Yeah.
with the kids. Maybe that was just, I don't know, how it was done back then.
It was. I have a couple of Pink Panther originals and a couple of Roadrunners, and they're definitely like that.
They're yapping away.
But I prefer like these creators that are writing it now because they get it.
Yeah, it's good
Like
that
Pink
the.
Panther had that narration all the time, like where the narrator was trying to convince Pink Panther to do stuff. And it was just like it reminded me of being a kid and watching these cartoons. So I was like, this is just as effective, and it plays on the same magic that made the cartoon what it was. So,
Yeah, I think that is that an omnipresent narrator or something like that?
yeah.
Or they're watching the story, but then they also
They also participate in the story.
participate in
That's
the
what's
story.
like fantastic. And then you had that aardvark in the Pink Panther cartoon, that blue aardvark in the ant.
Or Aardvark and the Ant. Yeah,
Yeah.
that was a cartoon too, or a
Yeah, it
comic
was
too.
a cartoon, yeah. They were great cartoons back in the day. And I remember when I grew up really loving Pink Panther. Like I loved it. The cartoon was, I thought was like, it was one of those cartoons that would make me laugh. And it's hard for me to laugh at a cartoon, but I thought it was funny. And When I first found out they were making live action Pink Panther, I thought, well, it'd be the Pink Panther, and it never was. It was just about the inspector. So when I first saw like Peter Sellers as Inspector Clouseau, I was like, this is awful. But that was me as a kid. When I got into
Like
the
you were let
teenage,
down, you're let down because
I
you
was
didn't
let
see
down because I never
the
saw the
future.
Pink Panther. The Pink Panther was a diamond. It wasn't actually a panther.
Yeah.
And it was so disappointing because I never saw the Pink Panther. But later on,
Except
I
in the wasn't he in the credits?
yeah, he was in the credits or the opening. I can't remember. But I saw, now I see the Peter Sellers Pink Panther movies, and they're like the best thing ever. Like I love them so much. They're so good movies. So it's like how times have changed.
Yeah, you can appreciate it now.
Yeah.
But now you know what you're to expect, so
Peter
you're not let
Sellers is
down.
an amazing actor. Like, he was amazing as that character. Because his whole thing was like, he was the worst inspector ever, but whatever magically led him on this journey ended up to be to make him turn out heroic at the end. Like, he was a bumbling idiot. But the fact that there was something magical about him because whatever he did always ended up in a good way. And I used to love the scenes. He would pay his servant to attack him as he got into his apartment to keep up his fighting skills. So as soon as he'd walk into the room, you would always be wondering like what is he gonna do to attack him? And they'd have like this 10 to 15 minute attack scene where he spends the whole time trying to kill Jacques, trying to kill Inspector. I was gonna say Jacques Cousteau. That's
Jacques
another
Cousteau,
show from my past. There was Wild Kingdom and Jacques Cousteau. One was about water and one was about animals on land. I'm old.
You are.
Yeah. So what else
Yeah,
you
and
got?
it's cool that American mythology is printing these old or bringing back these old properties,
Yeah, I don't.
getting the rights
I
to them.
actually left them for a while, and I realize that I really like them. I just don't think they could stick to a title. So it's like if you miss one, you miss one. Do you know what I mean? That's why I didn't know about that Carson of Venus crossing over with the land that time forgot. But now I want to get those because I want to finish the story. So what else we got? You want to talk Dark Arc, or do you like vaguely remember it?
I do remember it. I don't let me pull up my let me find my review of it so I can see what I gave it.
Yeah.
But I do remember the premise. I mean, the premise was pretty original, so it's pretty hard to forget.
Did you order it? The trade?
I didn't. I gave it a 3 out of 5.
Oh, that's what I gave it too. I gave number one a 3 out of 5.
I said it was okay. I thought it did a good. It set up like the premise, but there wasn't anything that really grabbed me
Well, it set up the
and
premise,
made me
but
say, oh man, I need to
it
read
didn't.
this.
I didn't think it did a good job of doing the premise in number one. Now that I read it as a whole,
Yeah, well,
I think it
it
didn't
set up the
set it
premise in
up.
terms of, so the premise is that there was, I can't remember who the other captain is, but so there's Noah's Ark and then there was another ark.
Yeah, he's a sorcerer.
Okay.
I forget what his name is, but that's
And he
not
had an
important.
ark of like supernatural type creatures.
Monsters, essentially.
Yeah. And it's the story of, so is this intending to tell the story of what happened to all the monsters, like how they all died?
Well,
And why we don't have them today?
It's the same. It's like there's two arcs. Noah has an arc, so he's getting an arc built for all the animals to go on, and so they can continue existence because the Lord said he's going to wash away all our sins. And there's another arc where the sorcerers run, and he knows that God's doing this, but he knows that through a demon. So there's a demon that's guiding that sorcerer, and he says, your whole job is to keep these mystical creatures, these monsters, alive because they're part of the sins that God wants to wash away. And they both make these arcs. And this one sorcerer can't get the ark built in time. So he actually goes to this village and he said, this is what's going to happen. And he said, anybody that helps me build this ark will get passage on my ship. But what they don't know is, yes, they're going to get passage on the ship, but they're going to serve as food
Yeah, they're
to the
the food.
monsters. And that's where the magic is. And it's really convoluted because he has to try to keep Noah alive in order to keep his monsters alive. And the demon's goals are the same as God's goals. But, and then you're like, why are these unicorns on there? Because you have all these monsters and you don't think of unicorns as being bad. But later on, you find out that somebody planted the unicorns, and who they're trying to find out who's on God's side that planted these unicorns on the ship, because the demon, the sorcerer always thought the demon did it, but these unicorns just showed up, and he ended up having to kill the unicorns. But it's really cool because they have like a vampire that's on the ship. And the vampire wants to overthrow the sorcerer, and he calls upon all these vampires from they come out of the water and start boarding the ship, and they're gonna slaughter all the people. And Noah ends up fighting them off, which is really cool. And then there's a what do you call it, a manticore on the ship, and he's fascinating because he's got like his own agenda. And it involves one of the slave girls, and I don't know what it is yet, but he ends up saving those humans at the bottom of that ship that are food a lot of times. But he'll like, if there's a monster that gets down there to the food and kills some, like kills one of the creatures, he'll kill the creature and then eat the rest of the human. So it's very strange, but it's pretty awesome, and it's highly addictive.
So is the story more about the dynamic, like the political dynamics on
The
the
ship,
arc?
yeah,
Yeah.
and then it's got like it has his daughter, like it fleshes out his daughter's
Yeah, I
story,
remember there's a yeah, a female character.
and he's got like three sons and a wife on the ship as well.
Okay.
And they run into, like in the latest story, they run into the monster of all monsters. So if you Google the monster of all monsters, you get some weird name like Enchilada or something like that. I don't Ilala, I can't remember what the name is.
Enchilada.
Enchilada. But it's like a Greek mythology beast that's underneath the sea, and all those monsters on the boat are spawned off of this one monster, the mother of all monsters. And there's one scene that's really powerful because he has these people build a ship for him. And this one sorcerer, who I wish I remember his name, but he tells there's a mother and a boy, and he kicks them off the ship, and the mother's like, well, the kid doesn't want to enter the ship because he's like, there's something up with the sorcerer. And the mother thinks that he overheard, the sorcerer overheard the child speak negatively about the sorcerer or him. And he says, you two are off the boat. And she's like, you can't kick us off the boat. We helped you. You promised us safe passage on the boat. And then it starts raining. And you're like, oh shit, is this thing really going to start flooding? So he kicks off the mother and the son, and they're like crying. They're get you know people are trying to board the ship, and they're crying because they can't get on. And the mother says, "Take me! I don't care if you don't take my son. He spoke badly about you. You gotta take me." And then the sorcerer says, "Oh, you're willing to let your son die, and you belong on this ship." So he's like, "Come on aboard," and he lets the mom on the ship because he's like, "You evil bitch. You're gonna sacrifice your son just to save your own hide? Well, you belong on this ship because you're gonna be food for these monsters." So I like that.
So how far have you read?
I'm all caught up. I read 9 issues yesterday. I just
Didn't know there was that
plowed
many
through
issues, eh?
them.
I may have to add that to my order.
I it grew on me. I'll be honest with you. I didn't want to read number two after reading. I thought about it and I said, "You know what? Bill only said to cover number one, so I'll stop because I wasn't crazy about it." But I said, "You know what? I went to all those boxes and I dug out 5 issues, and I went through all the trouble to find them.
So you have them right
I'm gonna go ahead
here,
and read it." And I swear to you, by the third issue, I was hooked. Like I said,
yeah.
"Holy crap!" And then I went back to the basement and dug out the rest of them, 6 through 9, and I was like, "I got to read this all." So you know it's good if I go dig out something and wasn't
You went through
planning
the
on reading
went
it.
through the trouble of
Yeah.
going through your files.
And it's not easy. Because I haven't done a merge in a while, I have to like go through like 6 boxes, and they're all at different heights. Some are on the top, some are on the bottom, and pull them out and then thumb through and see where I can find the books. And I was like, "Okay, I gotta find it." And I did the same thing with Unholy Grail. I didn't plan on reading it all, and it was my favorite book of the week for sure.
Yeah, Unholy Grail, I did not order either, but I'm not sure why. I need to look. I'm going to find out why I didn't order that one.
Well, in a nutshell, there's really not a lot to say about it because it's really just a retelling with a horror bent on it of the King Arthur story with
Right.
Merlin and Lancelot and Guinevere and Mordred, and you know, it's a retell, the Lady in the Lake, it's all of that. But it's done like amazingly awesome. Like it is done so well that like it was like holy shit. And the guy who draws it, he's like one of my favorite artists now. It's just amazing art. I've never even heard of him. I keep saying Holy Grail, but it's Unholy Grail. So I can never find it. The artist is Mirko Kolak. Amazing artist. And again, this is Cullen Bunn.
Think I've heard of that guy, or at least I've heard of a Mirko. Mirko.
But you like feel the emotion, like you feel sorry for King Arthur because of he's being manipulated since he was a boy by Merlin. Like Merlin had all of this planned out from the very beginning. And at the beginning, a demon kind of goes into Merlin's body. So you know that, well, hey, that Merlin might not always be what he set out to be. But it shows like the loyalties of the knights and stuff like that. And it opens up really weird, and maybe that's why I didn't like issue one. It opens up with one of the other knights, Percival, I believe is his name. He actually returns to Camelot, and it's Camelot's wiped out, like it's gone. And he brings the Holy Grail to the round table, and he's like, "You know what happened?" And kind of like it's the story of how they got there to the end of time sort of thing. And it's just really well done, and I like love Guinevere and Lancelot. Well, Lancelot has always been my favorite knight of the whole bunch, and it's such an awkward thing because she loves Lancelot, Lancelot loves her, And she loves her king, but she doesn't love him as her husband. And he loves him as a brother. So they know they're in this betrayal. And the way this story is told, she actually births, what's her name? The sorceress. I can't think of her name now. Morgan Le Fay. And when Guinevere has her child, which is a miscarriage essentially, Morgan Le Fay has Mordred, who takes over Camelot when Arthur leaves to go find the Holy Grail. So it's all tied together and it's freaking awesome. I just loved it. It was so
Cool.
good.
It's interesting that there's been so many tellings of this story.
Yeah,
It's
and
interesting that authors like keep going back to it.
Like Keith Knudsen, man, loves this stuff. Like you get into King Arthur and he like loves it. I told him on Twitter, I said you Keith would love this. Like he would just love it. He loved the art and the way the story is told. Like you kind of get emotional with some of the aspects of it because there's you feel sorry for Guinevere 'cause she's being manipulated by Merlin as well. So, yeah, it's crazy. Merlin uses everybody.
Yeah, that's what I remember the first issue. He was kind of controlling things.
Yeah. I was hoping that it
Literally.
would be longer. Like, I was disappointed that it ended with five. Like, I was hoping,
Oh, it's not
hey,
ongoing.
yeah, I was hoping it would be like a dark arc. And I was like, I could go get the next four issues. But it ended, and I was bummed out.
Cool.
So that
I'll
those
have to.
both those books started out as a three of the five, and I was so glad I stayed the course, because I could have easily just they would have been in the box another 5 years before I got to them. But I just marshaled through them, man.
Is interesting. And it's also interesting that we've essentially looked at a couple books by the same author, one where it starts as a 5 out of 5 and kind of went a little downhill, and another one where it started out 3 out of 5 and went uphill.
Well, both of them went uphill for me. The Dark Arc did too.
Yeah.
So, if I had to like a to talk about like what has really floated my boat with Cullen Bunn lately, I'd say that Holy Grail was my favorite. I'd still say Regression because of what it is my second favorite.
Yeah, I like the progression a lot.
And number three would be Dark Arc. Number four would probably be, what was that other one we covered? Hollow,
Harrow County.
Harrow County. Last would be Unsound, just because it didn't hit the. Well, Bone Parish would be in there, but it was a number one.
Yeah,
Bone
so you don't know
Parish,
where to place that.
Bone Parish would place right now third based on one issue.
Right, but given that it's a first issue and it did well, you don't know. It could
I
be
don't
going
know
downhill
what. Yeah,
from
I don't
here.
know. Can we talk about Bone Parish?
Sure.
Another razor blade on the cover, interesting enough. Also by Cullen Bunn.
The theme? Oh, yeah, there's a razor blade.
Yeah. In this one, it's like a razor blade to snort a drug.
Yeah, it's a razor blade for a different reason.
Yeah.
Yeah, this one has like one of the simplest high level concepts possible.
It
It's a
is.
drawing.
I've seen this concept before in something. I don't know if it was a movie or what, but it's like a voodoo thing. You grind the bones and then take the ash of the
The
person and
person
use
and
it as a
snort it.
drug.
Yeah, maybe, and it might be that, like, that may be where the core idea came from, like a old voodoo thing. Yeah, but
So.
then this one, you snort when you snort the ashes of the dead person that went through this voodoo ritual, you get to experience part of their life. So you get to, like, they show one guy who does it. He's out on the street and he's jamming away on his air guitar because he thinks he's on stage at a concert in front of a huge audience,
Yeah, it was
jamming away.
a good opening because you get the idea of what that drug does. Like,
Yeah, and why people like to use it.
and I read another title which you probably don't have yet, and I don't even know if you ordered it, but it had some kind of flavor, hot lunch special. Did you order that one?
Hot lunch special. I don't know. That's a
As an
weird title.
aftershock.
I probably did. I think I get all the Aftershock number ones,
Yeah.
typically. It depends who the author was.
You'll like that one. That one is really good too. It has a similar, like, small co time concept, but it builds on that concept and it makes it really awesome. But this is cool because it leads you to believe it has a husband and wife that run this drug company. And it looks like it's a hard business. Like, they have to really do a lot of research. Like, they have requests. Like, hey, I want to experience a rock. I want to be a rock star, or I want to be artistically inclined, or I want to be funny or something like that.
Right, be a
And
famous person.
right, and they have to go do
Or
research.
I want to be a porn star.
Yeah, I want to have a huge dick. And then they'll have to go dig out somebody like John Holmes or somebody and then crush his bones and make a drug. So they have all these requests, they have to do the research. They have like a woman there that they introduce that does all the work. And she's willing to do the work as long as the people bring her the corpses that she needs to do her
And I
work.
think, if I'm not mistaken, isn't that the sister? Like, I think it's a family-run
Yeah, it's a
business
family-run business.
where,
Yeah.
like, because the mom runs it, and then the brothers do get the bodies, and then the sister is the one. That's, I think it might be the sister who's doing the voodoo part of it. And
Yeah.
it's interesting because I thought it was interesting because the story fo focused more on the dynamics of the family and the business side of it, or
Yeah.
focus a lot on that because there's the inner politics between the different family members, and then there's outside companies who are taking an interest in the business, basically want to take over their business.
Yeah, and it's kind of like a threatening one. At least, like, hey, we want to take over your business. You guys don't know how to run it. We'll run it. We're just buying the business from you, and we'll give you a very generous offer. And the guy tells him, hey, if it's not us, it'll be somebody else. So it sounds like they're going to have to, like, fight off a bunch of people trying to take over their own business.
Kind of step in.
And the ending, I think, is a really great ending. I
Yeah, I don't want
loved
to.
it.
I don't want to spoil it, but yeah, I did not see it coming either.
I didn't see it coming, and it worked really well. Like, why they're doing what they're doing, and
Yeah.
it was good. It was
Yeah,
really
the
good.
motivations and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, I liked it too. I thought it was really well done.
So I gave this one a 4 out of 5.
Yeah, I believe I did too.
And I hope it ends up being a 5 out of 5 after I read it all. I hope it doesn't do an unsound on me. This one seems more grounded though, like the plot. It doesn't seem like it. If it does go supernatural, it'll be like on how they make it happen or something like that.
Yeah, the only way I could see it going supernatural is if it goes to
Voodoo.
the voodoo side,
Yeah.
yeah.
And the art was really good. I liked it a lot.
Yeah, who is the artist? Alex Gu Plumeras. Yeah, it was good. It's nice, dark.
No, the
Creepy.
artist is Jonas Scharoff.
Oh, Jonas Scarf.
Alex Gumarez is the colorist.
Coloring. Coloring was good. Nice and dark. But not too dark.
But not too dark.
I did order hot lunch special. I haven't got it yet, but I did order it.
That was really good. Really good. I liked it a lot. We can talk about that when you read it. I didn't think you'd read that one because it just came out. Like that was one that I didn't order because of my culling, but
Okay.
I saw it at the shop and I said, "Well, I made a mistake. I don't want to get it." And I got it and it was really, really good. I'm glad I picked it up. And I was gonna dump it just because of the damn title. I'm like, "Hot Lunch Special? What the hell? I don't need to read something called Hot Lunch Special." But when you get to the premise of it, like a Lebanese family-run sandwich business, you know, kind of like they fill like those vending machines and stuff, the ones with the refrigerated vending machines, and they're involved in a gangster thing, much like this Bone Parish thing. Really, really cool story concept. I like it a lot. Can't wait to see what happens with that one.
Yeah, that sounds good. I like the stuff like that. All right, what else we got?
Tinseltown.
Oh, I love Tinseltown.
I read 2 and 3 because I had them, but
You should have told me. I could have read three. Dang.
I couldn't stop. I had 3 in hand. I'm like,
Had to read it.
well, I was on a tear yesterday. You know, we have this new furniture. It's damn comfortable. I was sitting there in my chair and reading book after book, and then I'd
Comfortable
say, do
chair.
basically what was happening yesterday is I'd read something I really liked. I'd go to my computer, which is on the kitchen table, and I'd say, are there more issues out that I have? And then I'd say, oh, there are more. So I'd go to the basement, I'd dig out everything I could find, and then I'd finish it. That's kind of what I was doing.
That makes sense. I could see if you're in the zone with a book, you just want to keep reading it.
There's something about Tinseltown that offers me something that like no other book has in it. And it's just like this simplistic concept of a Hollywood type studio cop that's not even needing to be a cop. And it's just like what things she has to deal with on the lot and what things are happening that are corrupt in Hollywood, if you will, and the weird things around that are happening in that situation.
I think it's interesting because, like, you get the story of this young woman who ended up in this job, but the real interesting part, I think, is that you're kind of getting a little glimpse at maybe an area that is not there's not a lot of stories told in this time or. I
Not,
haven't read a
not.
lot of stories about like
It's
the.
like a pre-World One, right?
Don't remember what year it is, but
It's like a
it's the behind the
1917
scenes.
type era. 1917,
Was it that
1920
old?
Hollywood, yeah.
Yeah, I guess it was 20s.
Which is interesting because I just read Mari Hari or Mari Hari, which is a Karen Berger book, and that's that particular character. And she's in that exact time frame, but in
All
France.
right.
Yeah.
Ah.
Very different books, but same time frame. And I was like, that's pretty fascinating. And that, well, it is a time frame that you don't see too much in comics. Like
Yeah, I don't know if
you'll see
I've seen any.
40s, 50s, and on, and sometimes you'll see like gangster stories in the 30s and 20s.
Yeah.
But you get be, 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 before
Yeah, this is
that, you don't
yeah.
see
This is
a
ni you're right.
lot.
It's ni 1915.
Yeah.
The early days of Hollywood. Super early days. Yeah, this is great. I love it. I think that the writing is top-notch, the way he's telling the story.
And this one, issue one ended up with like they're on the lot, and some guy is going to be like committing suicide, jumping off like a water tower or something.
Yeah, the first one, well, it starts off, so she gets a job at this Hollywood lot as a quote unquote security police officer, but she's not actually a cop, she's working for the studio, and she's basically there as eye candy because they wanted her to wear like a short skirt and stuff. But it turns out that, yeah, this guy is about to commit suicide, so she jumps to action.
Well, he's like a Hollywood type, it sounds like a comedian or something. And I guess the studio finds out about his gambling addiction, and they want to fire him. But he's going to commit suicide because he's like, what am I going to do now, kind of thing. And she goes up there and convinces him not to, that he could go to another studio and still be successful. And then he plays it off like it was all an acting thing. And he like tells her
Oh, when
after she
they,
saves his life, bow. You can bow now. They
yeah, once
play it
they get to the
off like
ground,
it's part of it, yeah.
yeah, they pretend it was a performance.
And then they meet two guys, like Betty, and her name is Abigail. They call her Abby. They want to meet some guys, so they go out to this area where a bunch of people try out as cowboys to be stuntmen, and they meet two guys there, and they kind of go out on a double date, and one of the guys teaches her how to use a gun.
Yeah, because isn't it like they go to the lot where there's like a bunch of guys who want to get in the movies basically, and they
Yeah,
want to be like stuntmen or whatever because they're
that's right.
practicing like lasso tricks and stuff. Because this is what back when they like made a lot of westerns and stuff, so they want to be. And then I think the studios would just come up and say, "Hey, we need a couple guys to be in the movie,"
Yeah, and they
and
actually
they get
do that
pulled
in this
in.
comic. They get pulled in.
Yeah.
How did this one end? Because I don't have it in front of me, and I went past you, and I don't want to spoil it.
Yeah, let me remember what the ending of this one was. Let's see. Oh, she's on the night shift and she's walking around.
Doesn't she have the gun too with her, and she fires the
Yeah,
gun?
she fires the gun at the very end,
And
yeah.
then you don't know what she shot.
Yeah. She says, "Stop or I'll shoot." Kablam.
Yeah, I don't want to go any further than that because I don't want to spoil it for you, but in my opinion, it got really interesting because it fleshes
Oh,
out the
and the third one.
relationship between Abigail and Betty,
Okay.
which is the girl that she's with when they're with the cowboys. So
Right. The
that's
one who took her
interesting.
to the cowboy place.
This one did have her go on a date with that ice cream guy though, right?
Yes.
And that she really didn't hit it off with him.
Yeah, she went on the date and didn't like him, and then, that's why the girl took her to. She's like, "Well, you want to meet some guys? I know where to meet him." And she takes her to the cowboy area. I
Yeah.
love it. And I think this book's actually doing pretty well for. I think it's one of their top sellers.
I think it is their top seller. I tweeted yesterday that I said, "Hey, I really wish there could be an ongoing." And Alterna retweeted it to the author, and the author said, "Hey, we have something planned, so keep an eye out." So this is 5 issues, but I think there's going to be plans. You know
More
why I
after
think I like this so much? It reminds me of a one shot that I read from DC Comics. It was one of those DC Spotlights or whatever it was. First issue special. It was Lady Cop.
that. Oh, I remember. I have that.
I fucking
I don't know if
love.
I don't remember if I read it. I think I did.
I fucking love that. that comic so much, man. Talk about having so, for being one issue, it has so much in it. Like, it's an amazing comic book to read. You can make fun of it, but it's pretty freaking amazing. It turns out to be like a little bit of an ad for VD, but it's pretty cool comic book.
Yeah, I think I do remember reading it, and then I looked to see if there was more issues of it because I wanted to read more, but there wasn't any.
Yeah. I love it. That's
That's a bummer.
one of my favorite comic books to talk about because I always wanted to find out who the killer was because all you see are his boots. Like she's under the bed and all you see is the boots. And the only person that ever used the character again was Gail Simone. And I think it was in what her Atom run. But the character's not was never used very much. But it kind of feels like this comic book, like a female wanting to become a cop and then getting resistance because she's a female. But one place takes place in 1915 and the other one's in the 70s. So yeah, it's cool stuff.
Yeah, definitely pick this up if you're at your shop because it's not a very a deep money investment, so it's only $1.50, and it's definitely worth it.
Yeah, it's the best alternative book, I think, at least in my opinion.
Yeah, I only read the first issue of it, but that 12 or XII or XIII or whatever it was, I liked as well.
Yeah,
But I didn't continue with that one.
there's a couple of
It's
them,
too.
Trespasser, and I don't know. I've liked what I've read of Alterna for the most part.
Yeah, I finally got on board with just getting the single issues with the alternate books.
Yeah, because usually what they do, I don't know if you've noticed a pattern, but they'll have the single issues and then they'll kickstart their trades. And then they release their trades.
Oh, I haven't noticed the kickstart, but I've
Yeah, they
noticed
just
that
did
they.
the Wicked and the Righteous. And before they did that, they did Amazing Age. So
Oh, I do remember that, yeah. I don't think.
they kickstarted it first and then they turned it into a trade.
I think I ordered one of the trades. I don't remember for which book, but I haven't got it yet, so I haven't had the opportunity to check out the quality. Like, what do you know what paper they're using in the trades?
No, because I don't read the trades.
Yeah, that's why
I
I'm
just do the
curious to see
single
what they're
issue.
using in the
Yeah.
trades.
One other one I read, like I said, was a Karen Berger book, the Mata Hari, which is based on the real character who
Yeah, I don't think
was.
I got that one.
Well, she's a real character. This story, though,
Yes.
he admits it's 90% true, like based on what he dug out of all the books that he can get on her. Like he read a lot of books about her. And then, it's got the 10% or a little more fiction that he writes because he's trying to fill in the holes, But she was a character that seemed to have like a rich upbringing, at least initially, and then it sounds like they lost money. But she was known as like several different things. Like, oh, she was with a lot of men, so she was considered a whore. She was for women at the time. She was considered a spy against the French for the Germans. And you don't really know what the truth is. You just know that she was killed and put in front of a firing squad, I believe, because she was considered a traitor. This book so far is portraying her as potentially innocent, but that's only with one issue I've read, so I don't know how it's going to end up. But it's an interesting backstory and definitely something that I'm gonna go as soon as I'm done with the series, go Wikipedia and see how much I can figure out is the truth and
Oh, what was the truth and what
yeah,
was
more the
made up?
fiction, yeah. Also in the same time period, sort of Tinseltown. And I read one other American mythology book called Beast Hunter X. And this one this one was it's
That
pretty
sounds
cool.
like a B movie.
It is exactly like a B movie. And I liked it because of that. It didn't try to pretend it was something it wasn't not. But it's about a small town where there's this waitress, and she gets some guy goes in there, and he's a real handsome guy, and he tells her some weird things, like to watch out for things, and turns out that there's these piranha beasts that have been cut loose and are starting to attack monsters. And the guy that warned her is a vampire, and she doesn't even know this, but she's a werewolf, and she turns into a werewolf like at the last part of the book, and they slaughter the few piranha men that are after her. So I like that one too.
Who wrote that one?
That was the same writer of that Dracula one.
Okay.
I can't even think of his name now. Mike Wolfer. Mike Wolfer used to do a lot of books for Avatar.
Yeah, he did Warren Ellis books.
Yeah. He's an artist too, by the way.
Yeah, that's
He's
how
a
he started.
he's an artist writer. Now he tends to do more writing. Matter of fact, I met him at Baltimore, I think one year. I think it was Baltimore. And I got like this glow in the dark. It's one of my favorite t-shirts. It's like it's got Ragdoll on the cover and it looks like a B film. And the thing that makes the shirt special is glow in the dark. But so I bought that shirt and that's where I bought the trade Ragdoll and I
Nice.
read it. It's pretty cool. He's a talented guy. Like when he's in his genre, he knows what he's doing. Which is like the horror genre, and some of it has a little camp to it too, but he definitely has that B film vibe.
Yeah, he's been doing a lot for American mythology,
Yeah.
obviously.
I'm gonna keep an eye out.
Don't think he's done anything for Avatar.
You know what I loved and didn't expect to love?
No.
I
Was
didn't
it?
I didn't think I would love Dan Slott's Fantastic Four, and I
Okay.
did.
I haven't read that yet. I have it though, number
I
one.
loved it though. I absolutely think he nailed it, in my opinion.
I read the Spider-Man number one and I did not like it.
I liked it. I'm on
I
board.
didn't. Did not like it.
I think you're in the
I'm off board.
majority.
Off board.
I'm all caught up on Amazing Spider-Man. I've read all three issues.
I'll have to give Fantastic Four.
Do you have any other books that you want to talk about?
I don't think so.
We can talk about movies and TV then.
All right. Hit the theme song.
Play your guitar.
Have it with me.
Did you watch any movies?
I'm sure I did. I have to look it up. I don't remember what I watched. I know I watched Ready Player One, but that was the second time I've talked about that in the past. Still good. Actually, I watched Ready Player One, and there's a lot of stuff that I'd forgotten about, so I forgot how good it was.
You watched it twice?
I saw it in the theater. And
Oh.
then we watched it again because my wife had not seen it. What did you watch?
I
Did you go to the
watched.
theater?
What did we watch last weekend, Barb? Yeah. Why can't I remember? You're like we're getting like my mom and dad. Which one? Meg, the Meg.
Oh, I kind of want to see the Meg.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
I'm gonna watch the Meg with the right attitude, which is I just want to see some fun, campy stuff.
I don't think it's campy.
Yeah, that was the wrong word. Lighthearted. Well, not really lighthearted.
The
I want to be
way,
amused.
well, I'm gonna say
Amused.
this. I think it starts off like with a really serious tone, almost like, like when you're watching The Abyss and you're like just fascinated with the underwater world. And then you get into like this theory of something where you get into this the main plot of why there's this big ass shark. And then it turns into a shark movie, but it's fucking awesome. It really is. It's a great shark movie. It's a great, like, it feels like underwater sci-fi, but it's in current time. It's just a great movie. It's so much fun. It's like it made a ton of money. It's already made more than they anticipated. Like, they didn't anticipate to have made as much as they did that first week. A matter of fact, they've increased the showings at a lot of theaters because it was way more than they thought it would be. But
That's
it
interesting.
was really good. We saw it in 3D, which one of the nice things about having the Cinemark membership that I like is usually pay extra for the ticket if it's in 3D, and we didn't because the membership, it was the same cost as a regular ticket.
Oh, because it's the. So you can use your monthly ticket on
Yeah, it's the same.
anything.
Yeah, whatever.
That's good.
I don't know if that they treat that with the IMAX, but I know they do with the 3Ds. And there's some cool 3D scenes.
Oh, yeah.
It's not really filmed for 3D. Like if you're looking for like Jaws 3D, like you know what they do things on purpose. But what makes it
Yeah.
look really good in 3D is when the water's flowing. Like you could see like the surface and you see the water. It just looks really cool. It looks like the water's right there.
See the splash of the water.
Yeah. Yeah, Barb tried to feel his abs the whole time when he took his shirt off. She was like reaching out trying to feel his abs.
Did you and you lift up your shirt and you said, "You can just feel my abs."
That's what I did. I lifted up my shirt and I said, "How's that feel?" And she says, "Like a pear."
Yeah, I want to see the Meg, but I'll see that on DVD.
I think we saw something before that too, but I can't remember.
You saw Mission Impossible.
Oh, I saw Mission Impossible.
Okay.
That was good. I don't know if we talked about this. I could have sworn we did. I think we were talking about the stunts and stuff. I don't.
I don't remember, but it's possible.
Yeah, I liked
And
it.
we haven't recorded in a while, though.
I didn't even see. Well, we didn't record in 3 weeks, I think. I think it's been 3 weeks. Because we do it every other week, and then we didn't record last week.
Right.
I
Yeah,
liked
Mission
it.
Impossible. I'll see that on DVD too.
I liked it because I went to go see it because my father-in-law was in town, and we usually go to the movies while Barb and her mom go shopping, and usually pick something that Barb has no interest in. And I think Barb had no interest because we hadn't seen, like, they're on six, and we haven't seen like three through five. So we had seen Mission Impossible 1 at the theater, and it was good. And then we saw Mission Impossible 2, I think, on DVD or VHS, whatever was that at the time. And we didn't care for it that much. I mean, it was all right. And then we kind of just lost interest on the rest of it. And I went to go see it, and it was really good. I really enjoyed it. I'm glad I went to go see it at the theater. I don't know.
Cool.
It kind of makes me interested to go see the rest of them.
Well, didn't you see? I don't remember. Three?
I haven't seen three.
I think I saw that one.
I saw one and two only.
I think I've seen three, four, and five. I don't think I ever saw one and two.
And
Maybe I saw one.
Barb and I watched last night Happy Death Day, which was really good.
What is that?
Happy Death Day is like the Groundhog Day for horror movies. It's like, what if you live every day and you get killed by the same killer every single day? And it's like Groundhog Day. You wake up the same mor you know, the next morning, and the same day starts over again. And you try to adjust to figure out who your killer is. But
Sounds good. I want to watch.
it was really
What is
good.
what's that on?
That was on a movie channel of some sort that we just taped on DVR. So it's already on disc.
I'll have to get it from the library.
Happy Death Day.
I probably already have it on hold at the library.
But it's funny because they even poke fun of Groundhog Day.
Yeah, I guess you'd have to, it'd be wise to put a nod to it in there
Yeah, not to
someplace.
it, yeah. I think that's all I watched, except other than we're getting really close on Gotham. I think we're 7 or 8 episodes out to finishing the whole damn thing.
Yeah, I need to get back to Gotham.
This season is like crazy, man. I mean, it's just absolutely nuts.
That's the
They're
most recent
doing,
season.
yeah. They got solid. They have so much going on with Penguin and Riddler and Solomon Grundy and Leslie Tompkins and oh man, it's just so good. Poison Ivy. They have everything, man. They're throwing everything at the wall. It's crazy. They introduce Sophia, what's her name? What, I can't think of the gangster. Falcone. Holy moly, is she amazing as a villain. She's really good.
Yeah, I've been enjoying it as of late, at the point I'm at in the story, so I think I'm almost up to the new season. I'm thinking about the tail end of previous season.
Yeah, hopefully we'll be done at least with Gotham before the new seasons of shows start. And I gotta try to finish Supergirl just so I'm done with the CW shows, 'cause it's the last CW show that I have left.
Do you watch still?
Yeah, well, I
Or
watch all of them.
that you need to finish?
Well, we watch like. Barb has left CW with the exception of Black Lightning, I think. Yeah, Black Lightning is the only one that Barb watches. But I'm caught up on Arrow. I'm caught up on Legends of Tomorrow. I'm caught up on Black Lightning, obviously. And Supergirl's the only one left.
And you're going to stick with those shows
Yeah.
to the dying to your dying day.
I might be a year behind, but I'm going to stick with them.
It's a lot of shows to keep up with.
Yeah, it is. But I haven't like watched a lot of stuff that I want to watch. I still have to finish The Terror, which is a pretty freaking amazing show. I have like 3 episodes left. And I want to finish that one too. So I'll be happy if by the time new shows start if I'm done with Supergirl, Gotham, and The Terror. Even though I have a whole bunch of other shit. Like, we got a season of Preacher on there we haven't watched. We got Happy, which is
Oh yeah, the
the Image
Miller.
book, Morrison.
No, Morrison, yeah.
And then we got, what else do we got on there? We got a lot of stuff on there. Oh, we have Krypton, which we only watched the first episode on, but it was really good. We got a lot of stuff to watch. Should just stay home all week and just get caught up on TV. So what did you eat for food?
Oh my gosh, what have I eaten lately? I've eaten, I don't know, nothing. I must have eaten something.
You didn't make anything?
I make stuff all the time. Nothing elaborate, though.
You just mush up a bunch of beans and then turn it into whatever fake dish that you can make from it.
Yeah, I shape beans into like a, a drumstick or
Yeah, you're
some
like, I'm gonna eat
ribs or something.
chicken this week and hamburger the next week and a steak the next week, and it's all made out of the same thing. I'm gonna sue you. You know, there's a lot of people suing for names now, like milk and stuff like that.
What are you going to sue me for?
I'm gonna sue you for like calling your food like off of the regular thing, and it's really just a bean. Call it for what it is. I'm just eating black beans. I don't want to
Well,
hear that you're eating a patty of burger
what
or
if it
a
like a
beet
beet
burger.
burger?
Like, I don't even want to hear a beet burger. I just want to hear I'm eating beets in a bun. I don't want to hear burger because
In a
burger.
burger
I'll
form.
su No, I'm going to sue you
You're a
for
copyright
that.
burger.
I'm going to sue you. Burger means meat.
No, that's a ham part of burger means
No,
meat.
burger means when you say burger, it means it implies meat.
Burger comes from the German Burger,
That
which means,
accent was impressive.
thank you, which means
Damn,
patty.
I've never heard a German accent like that before.
You mean you never heard one as authentic as that before?
Holy moly. That was god awful. I would have
Was
never guessed that it was German.
didn't. Well, you apparently haven't been to Germany as many times as I have.
Burger.
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 Define burger. Who owns the copyright to burger? No one. Oh, claim copyright to burger. Enter your
Oh,
social
you're good.
security and credit card number. Okay, hang on.
So you're gonna own it now? You eat beets on a bun. That's what you eat.
I do like beets on a bun. It's delicious. I like beans on a bun, beets on a bun. I like some tofu, soy on a bun.
What's your favorite dish? Like your favorite thing to eat?
Don't really have a favorite thing.
Well, if you had to pick one thing that you were that you know is a go-to dish that you'd like to have every week and you never get sick of, what would it be? cheese crackers? I mean, you could say that if that's your answer.
Does it have to, is it like a dish or a thing? Like, could I say shrimp and then I could have like shrimp in many different forms?
No, I want to hear what type of shrimp.
Or does it have to be like shrimp scampi?
Yeah, you have to
And
say
that's
like
like the
shrimp
only
scampi.
thing.
You can't just say shrimp. You could say grilled shrimp if you like to just grill shrimp, then you that's your favorite dish, but
Wait, do I have to eat this? This is the only thing I can eat forever?
yes.
I don't know. I'd have to think about it. It has to be something complex. Because then I can mix
But
it up.
would you say that shrimp is your favorite in general because you could do a lot of things with it and that would be like the thing, your choice?
No, probably not. I don't know what my choice would be.
Beans?
That's a hard question. I just don't know.
I think for fast food, I would choose Taco Bell because you could do so much with it.
Oh, if I could choose one fast food restaurant?
Yeah.
Yeah, Taco Bell.
Really? What do you
Well, let
what
me
can you
think.
get at Taco Bell? Nachos?
I get
Oh, a
nachos.
bean burrito.
I get a bean burrito, 7-layer burrito, tostada.
I thought tostadas have meat on them.
No, they don't. I can get a Mexican pizza without the meat.
Okay, so we both choose the same fast food place, which makes us like Nerdy Legion people because that's their fast food place. But what would you say is your favorite like restaurant?
My favorite restaurant. I don't really have a favorite restaurant. It just depends what I feel like.
What are you going to eat today for lunch?
I don't know. I may have some leftover Thai food.
Is that your favorite Thai?
No. My favorite, like,
Well,
nationality for food,
yeah, let's at least go there.
I would say Indian.
Really?
And I don't know what area of India, but yeah, I love Indian food.
I would say that's my least favorite.
It's
So
so
you just said
delicious.
his favorite food is Indian food. So God, it would be tough. I don't know whether to go with Mexican or Italian. It'd be a tough call.
Both good choices.
I
There's really not a bad
think I'd have to
choice.
go with Mexican because then I could you could do a lot with a tortilla and beans and chili. Whereas Italian, it would be hard to give up because you got like all your pastas and your pizza for sure. God has got to be up there, but I think I'd
That's
have to
what
go Mexican. If I had to pick one dish that I would have to eat, then it would, be Mexican food.
know, for just like a food, like if I could just eat one thing, pizza might be a good choice because I don't think I would get sick of it ever.
As long as you can mix up different toppings,
Well, if I could mix up different toppings,
and
then
then you
for
can even
sure.
make a breakfast pizza.
Yeah, if you just had to eat everything in pizza form, that'd be fine.
Well,
'Cause you
if it was a form, then I would do anything. I'd do pizza because you could eat a hamburger pizza, you could eat Italian pizza, you could have a Mexican pizza. I mean, you could pretty much have a pizza where you do refried beans over chili and salsa, and
I
put
love
chili.
Mexican pizza.
Yeah, you could do all kinds of different things. Breakfast, because
Yeah,
really all it
breakfast is
is
good.
that bottom
Yeah, because you got
layer.
bread, you get cheese, you got,
Yeah.
meats and vegetables. You got everything. And you can mix it up, yeah, however you want. If you want salad, you could have a salad on the pizza.
Yep, and you could do like wheat crust. You could do all kinds of different crusts.
Mm-hmm.
Cheese crust, stuffed crust, thin
Call
crust.
cauliflower crust.
You could do cauliflower. I'm a fan of cauliflower. I really am. It smells like feet, but it tastes pretty damn good.
Oh yeah, it stinks, man. Oof. That's nasty.
It doesn't smell good, but damn, I can't tell the difference between mashed cauliflower that Barb makes and mashed potatoes. I can't
Wow.
tell the difference.
Just know by the smell in the house.
Yeah, one smells like feet and one doesn't while you're making it. All right, well, I think we could wrap this one up. Is there any requests for trades that you're going to read next week so I could start on them?
I don't know offhand. I have nothing on the. Nothing pressing. I'll have to let you know. We didn't really talk about anything that spawns off into anything
Well,
else.
I think what I'm going to read is the Anthony Bourdain thing, Hungry Ghosts. I think I'm going to read that. I may read Mata Hari, but I don't know. Which are both burger books.
Well, she's doing something right.
Well, maybe we could talk about Fantastic Four number one, but it could be close. We might record before you get your shipment. Because it's a 5-month week.
For
Usually,
which book?
Fantastic Four.
I think I have that.
How could you have that? It
I'm
just
pretty
came
sure I have
out.
it. I'm pretty sure I have it.
Well, if I knew we had it, then I could have told you to read it.
Yep. Whose fault is that?
Yeah,
You let yourself down. Yeah, I don't know. I'll have to look through what I have on my pile. See what should be next.
can you look at your what you got in your last order and see if you have any trades? Look up your last order.
Let me look up my last order. Doot-doot-doot-doot. Wait, oh, the last thing that I got.
Yeah, last shipment.
Order history. Shipments. I didn't know you could do that. Here we go. Shipment. All right. Let's see Fantastic Four's on this list.
Why don't you read off a couple of collected editions and then I'll pick one that I want to read?
Oh, there's some good stuff in here. All right, let me find it. Beef.
I'll do that one. I'll do beef.
Okay, we can do beef.
Yeah.
And looking, I'm looking.
I liked the first issue of Beef. That was good.
Yeah, that was good. Ghost Money Volume 1.
We could do that too. One more.
Giants.
I didn't get Giants.
Malefic.
We could
You
do
already read that.
that. Let's do that.
Malefic Volume 1.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I want to read that
Is
one.
there a volume two for Malefic? I thought it was just everything in all 8 issues in one.
Yeah, I think it is. I think it's a complete. It was expensive, so I think it is a complete. Yeah, so we can do Malefic and
Malefic, Beef, and Ghost Money.
Beef.
And
Ooh, that's
Ghost
a lot
Money.
of books.
Well,
Ooh,
Ghost.
Sync. I got Sync too. Oh, and Skin and Earth. Oh man, I got some good stuff. I read it all. Spider King, you didn't like that one.
Did I read Spider King? I think I did, but I read it digitally.
Sleepless? You didn't like that one either. Or did you like that
No,
one?
I get that one. I buy that one.
Okay. Oh my gosh, there's so much good stuff. I'm gonna die. Regression Volume 2.
Yeah, we could do that. Let's
Bitch.
just do the three that we did initially, 'cause that's a lot.
Oh.
But now we know how to pick like what sequence of books to read.
Yeah,
You know what I mean? We'll just
I
go to
felt
your order and I have 90% of it. I
like
think what the only things that you mentioned I didn't have was Spider King
Giants.
and Giants, yeah.
All right, sounds good.
Do you have any
Let's see
Marvel
what
or
we can
DC in
get them.
there?
Get some number ones.
No, but
No
no trades.
trades. Nah, no trades. Wait, maybe, I don't think so.
Oh, that's a good list. I wonder what Ghost Money collects. Is it the whole series, all 8 issues, or is it?
No, it's volume one, so I don't know when
Let me
we
see
can.
if I can look that up and see. Oh, that's 10 issues, and I don't have the trade. So it's probably the first
Probably
five.
five, yeah, it's probably
Five and
five.
five. It's a dense book, though. Like it, Ghost Money is the translated book.
Yes.
So it's gonna be a good hour plus read, I bet.
Yeah, from what I remember, it was pretty intense, the first issue. A
Yeah.
lot going
But
on.
I'll only read four because I've already read one. Whereas you'll read the whole thing again, I imagine.
I'll read the whole thing. I just read it from the start.
So, can we talk real quick? I told you what my top.
Oh, Assassinistas. I got that too.
I did not get that.
You didn't get that.
You know what? I haven't dipped my toe in that line of books, which isn't the burger line of books, but it's the other Vertigo editor working at IDW. Black
Black Crown,
Crown. Yeah,
something like that.
she's the Vert and Sarah. What's her name? She's the other Vertigo editor that left DC and is now doing it at IDW.
I didn't know. I didn't realize that. Or maybe I forgot.
Yeah, so you got the burger line, plus you got the Black Crown line, which is I haven't read one Black Crown book yet, believe it or
Yeah, you
not.
did. You read the punk one, the Sid Vicious
Oh
one.
shit, I just read number one. I didn't own it though, I didn't buy it.
I didn't buy it.
I bought the digital and then I ordered the trade.
Did
But
that
I'll
come
be
out? That might have
I'll
come out.
no, it hasn't, or I would have had it.
That hasn't come out yet.
Because I get weekly shipment, you remember? Ooh, DCBS is giving my books faster than ever now.
Because they move closer to you,
Well, no, I figured
didn't
out
they?
what to do. So,
Ooh.
yeah, what I do
Cheating the
is
system.
I have it, I say pick up at UPS store. And if I do that, then I get it every Friday.
Ah.
But I think it has to do with the weight too. I notice when I'm under 20 pounds, if I'm 20 pounds or under, I get it on a Friday. But if I get a
Okay.
40-pound box, I guess those guys have trouble lifting them.
They
It
need two
takes
people.
an extra day.
If
So,
you get it to go to your house, it takes longer.
yeah, I get them on Monday if I
Well, I
have it
guess
on.
so, yeah, because that would be another shipment
Yeah.
from the distribution to your house. Yeah, smart.
Which is cool because I could inventory my books on Friday night. I just like bleep them all into the system. And I'd rather do that than on
Frees up your
Sunday.
Saturday for reading.
Well,
For your
yesterday was
Sunday.
I yesterday I had a blast reading. Like I was telling Barb, man, everything I'm reading is so good. I just go down to the basement. She's, why are you bringing more comics upstairs? You got a goddamn kitchen table full of comics. And why don't you read these goddamn comics? And I tell her, I said, I'm a mood reader, Barb. I gotta read what I'm in the mood for.
Barb, you don't understand.
Yeah, she doesn't get it. But you can reach us at geekbrunchpodcast.com. You can go to Facebook and search for Geek Brunch Podcast. You can catch Alfie and Mr. Bubbles. And on
Yes.
Twitter, that's the best way I think to follow Alfie and Mr. Bubbles is on Twitter.
You could follow at Alfie and Mr. B.
Yeah. Bill is at DBM00. I'm at Mike Myers Brunch. Our emails are mike@comicbooknoise.com and bill@comicbooknoise.com. And I only tend to get emails from people that are money hungry and say, "Hey, Geek Brunch, why don't you buy my shit?" But
Really?
I tend to get a lot of those emails. But I don't get any emails that say, "Hey, I've listened to the show, blah blah blah."
I
I
got
don't.
informed letters. Hey, your show's great. I'd like to come on to be interviewed.
Oh, I get interview messages, but I'm not an interview person. I'll send them Martin's
I
way.
know. That's why they haven't listened.
Yeah,
We
I
did an interview back about 6 years ago.
did we? What did we interview?
I don't
The
know.
only
I don't know if it was really an interview. We have had creators
the
on
only
before.
things that I've ever had is creators on, but it's not an interview at format at all. It's not a question answer. They're part of the show. In other words, they're
Right.
talking about Bone Parish or something. It's Cullen Bunn week. You're talking about Cullen Bunn.
Yes, that is true. It wasn't an interview per se.
Yeah.
That's for Martin to do.
Well,
He's a professional.
at some point we're gonna have to go get Micah to come on a show and guest again. See what he's up to.
Yes.
Yeah.
Catch up on the world of Micah.
Yeah. There was one review I was reading that's so hilarious. Oh, I think I read it to you. It's like Micah is hating on every comic or something. The guy who hates on every comic except the Japanese comics. It says that in a review. If it's not manga, he hates it.
Not too far off, and then he
That's
pushed it so far
interesting
that he left the
because
country.
we love each other, but like I can't stand the manga and he loves it. Like I just can't do it.
Well, you just haven't given it a chance.
That's
All right, and
what
that's.
Vicious Smith said back in the day, and I gave it like four or five different volumes, and I said, "Fuck this shit." And I did the same thing with anime. Didn't watched about four or
But
five
you
of them.
tried. Everything's not for everyone.
Well, I've tried different genres too because it's a genre thing. I find their horror to be like really weird.
Yeah, they do have some weird horror body
Do you watch
stuff.
I just want to tell you, do you watch America's Got Talent?
I do not.
They have a weird thing going on right now, an act I've never seen before, which is like a girl that does like Japanese horror, where you know how they do that weird thing with the hair and they do the fast motion stuff,
Yeah.
but she does it with magic. Like she's a magic act, but she does it like
Okay.
a horror theme. It's pretty
Well, that sounds good.
unique.
I'll have to look that up on the
Yeah,
YouTube.
see if you can find that on the YouTube. The other thing that me and Barb are watching a lot, and she's got me hooked, is that World of Dance. God, I'm fascinated with that show.
Have not watched that.
That is an amazing show, man. That is fun to watch. I never thought I'd watch a dance show on TV because I don't really give a shit. But I'm into it.
Yes, that's what I think. The only reality, we watch MasterChef and we watch the Great British Bake Off or
Oh, the
baking show
other.
or whatever the hell it's called.
Oh, the one that Nick turned me on to is that I don't watch from beginning to end, but I enjoy is the craft show. I forget what the
Oh,
hell it
making
is.
it?
Making it,
I
yeah.
watched the first one and I wasn't very impressed by it. It's no British baking show.
Yeah, but I like it. I'm so tired of baking right now. Like Barb watches like Food Network like all the time. If I if If I'm not watching TV with her, Food Network's on. I don't want any more baking shows. But this one's different because it's crafts. I like it. I like to see the creative process. There's an Asian creator there in the crafts that does things really dark and creative, and I liked it.
I'll have to give it another chance. Maybe the first episode was just them trying to get their ground, get their feet.
Well, I don't
Maybe it
watch it
gets
like
better.
religiously. It's one of those things that we watch while we're eating or preparing food or something.
Yeah, doing stuff, yeah.
Yeah, and I kind
But
of like
yeah,
what I watch.
you're right that I do like it that it, well, I like that it's not cooking. And I used to like, they had that one show on, I think it was Bravo or something about, like, it was an art challenge of some sort. I like that one, World of Art. I don't know, remember what it's called.
Yeah.
That was good. So I do enjoy the art, more arty ones as well.
Well, I like to see like if they have a theme, like how they get graded and how what the process is. Like there was one where this creator did like this really cool thing where they had to do like a background theme. But she got like judged on because she had these like tire swings and it's like where how are you going to symmetrically do this like on a tree? You know what I mean? Like so they like look at criteria like is this really a feasible thing to do an outdoor thing for kids, you know? I kind of dig that.
You
So
know, I looked up the America's Got Talent creepy magician girl. I think I did see something of hers, like on, I think someone shared it somewhere before.
yeah, she's
She
weird.
looks familiar.
And she doesn't say a word either. Like, she just does her neck thing, like, where it looks really creepy. Yeah, they do some strange horror, I tell you. Especially in the comics. Holy mackerel. I was reading something. Well, I think it's called Psycho PhD or Police
Yeah,
Department
I think
P
there's something like
Psycho
that.
something from Dark Horse. And one of the serial killers was growing like plants in people's brains, like inside outside of the brain stem. It was crazy.
Yeah, they do a lot of stuff around the body, like oriented around the body.
It was kind of like Motel Hell, but with the more like they were growing them. Like Motel Hell, he was Motel Hell, he would like cut the throats of these fuckers. And have you ever seen Motel Hell?
Long time ago.
It's like 70s horror, and it
Yeah.
stars Cliff Clavin, the guy who's on Cheers. He plays one of the hippies that they get the van for. And their whole thing is this guy makes like barbecue sausages and pork dishes, and people don't realize that they're really eating people. So he bakes them in the ground for a while. He cuts their throats so you can only hear them like ah, and then puts a potato bag over their heads, and then he makes his meat. Farmer Vincent's meat or something like that. Well, that was kind of like the manga I read where this guy was planting bodies in the ground and growing plants out of the brain. Like he would
Or the
scalp the head, access the brain, and then grow up, like seed it.
put seeds in the brain.
Yeah.
What was the point of that? Did it make delicious food?
No, I think he was just a serial killer that was
Okay.
fucking killing people and doing that. That
He
was
just liked
his
it.
signature move. And of course you had to read it backwards.
Of course.
I think that one I read forward and then backwards. And then I said, "What the fuck happened?" And I got the same thing out of it, reading it backwards and forwards. So
Said,
I
"Oh,
was
it'll
like
probably make sense if I read it the right way."
it didn't.
Wait, that doesn't make sense either.
I got the same thing out of it. All right. Well, you have a good week. I hope it's less stressful.
Sure, me too.
I'm entering a stressful week too, so hopefully we'll get through it.
All right.
All right, see ya. Bye-bye.
Bye.